If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You are listening to a 5-hour experimental presentation. For further information, you will need to keep listening to your radio.
It's a radio war, and it's at least nice to be ahead of those goons.
I can't believe all the inappropriate things I hear on the radio. I mean, I don't want my kids listening to that stuff.
First of all, how would you rate the program? Would you say it was excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor?
I think I'd give it a poor.
The next word is funny. Would you say it is very descriptive, somewhat descriptive, or not at all descriptive of the show?
No, not at all descriptive.
Unless your local government has given you other instructions, turn on the radio.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
And now...
You've got one song that's called Let's Impeach the President. What is this song about?
Our feature presentation.
Wow, that's a good question right there. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it's Thursday, the 4th, or 5th. Is it the 5th or is it the 4th?
It's the 4th.
Of Rocktober. I know that's not Kevin on the phone.
Hey, guys.
No, oh, look at that. It is Kevin on the phone.
Kevin, come on.
What? Well, it's been a while, hasn't it?
2 weeks?
Yeah, so I want to keep you guys trained. I want you to just always wonder if I'm going to be there on time or not.
Oh, we do, Kevin.
So
what are you kidding?
Today was a planned... No, it wasn't. It was Ramadan.
It was Ramadan.
Ramadan?
I got up at 2 minutes till 5.
Yeah.
And took a shower and then got in my car.
Did you have a
breakfast
bowl of cereal?
Yeah, you never leave before eating, right?
I was unable to eat today.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were in a hurry.
Yeah.
How does it, it's been a while since I haven't had this job, same for all of us, but how does it work in the real world where you basically every couple of weeks go, well, I didn't make it today, sorry, boss. what is that like? I'd love to know for people who are working at Kinko's how that flies.
Well, the difference is that none of our bosses are up now.
Right.
So I can kind of get away with it. But the answer to your question is you get canned immediately.
Yeah.
I've never really worked jobs in my life. I mean, I had a short stint at Nordstrom's. But besides that, I've only worked manual labor. And I'll tell you for sure that that crap won't fly very long. If you're hanging drywall or you're a heavy machinery operator and you show up late even a couple times, there are plenty of guys lined up that could use the work.
Well, I have to tell you, generally the rule in radio is it's one of those jobs where you just can't be late as well.
Right.
Generally speaking.
Unless your name's on the marquee.
Apparently, yeah.
Unless your name's first on the marquee, apparently. That's how you can be late.
Can you guys imagine Cycle Mike at Nordstrom, seriously, with his ridiculous love of jeans and everything else?
He'd be great.
Oh, you look good in True Religion.
I can't believe he ever left Nordstrom. That, to me, seems like he's much more suited for that job than he is this job.
It was an awesome job, especially for the short amount of time that I worked in women's shoes. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, I just don't do well with social interaction, especially with people that I don't know. I'm just not
really,
a good salesperson.
Really,
they just don't.
Asperger Jr.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the hardest part for me, even for personal training. It's hard to, like, sit there and chit-chat.
You should be a buyer. That's what you should be.
My sister was, and it came from the fashion industry, and she's always said, you are so crazy not to be the one heterosexual guy to just get break in that industry, go to FIDM, and just you'd be a millionaire. But you know, here I am.
Hey, your job, Lisa's so right. Your job would be to fly to Milan twice a year and pick out stuff to order for Nordstrom.
Well, in comparison to being at Culver City at 5:30 every morning, come on, that sounds like a nightmare.
Maybe explain this. You're not good at social chit chat. You don't like it at all, and yet on our show, you won't shut your freaking mouth.
Well, I made that disclaimer that I'm not good with chit chat with people that I don't know. You guys, longtime pals, feel very comfortable just rifling off the words.
You know, you could. There's another goal. If you don't like being in Culver City at 5:30, you should get your own show, and then you can show up at 6, 6:15, whatever time you want.
That's a good point.
Hey, real quick, let me read from yesterday's USA Today and then see what Lisa has to say. Here's the headline from the life section of yesterday's USA Today. The new show Carpoolers crashes before getting out of the driveway. Is ABC trying to kill the sitcom? What links it shows beyond their failure to amuse is their level of artifice. In style, tone, plot, and technique, they erect so many absurd barriers between the characters and the audience, you need a jackhammer to break through. Take Carpoolers, which has the titular carpoolers compete with a fancy carpool in which the commuters eat sushi. Lisa, how was Carpoolers last night?
I came in this morning and said, I saw Carpoolers. It's really good. Yeah. I laughed. What? I enjoyed it. I thought it was a funny show. And now being the first thing Bean says, yeah, that's going to be one of the first shows canceled.
Yeah. No. Lisa, we're talking about the show Carpoolers.
Have you seen it?
No.
It's funny.
Well, USA Today
they get in the carpool lane, and like they're the only ones in the carpool lane, and they just scream up the highway. Everybody else has just stopped.
But why is that funny?
Well, that's just part of what's funny, but that's kind of funny. And then the guys in the black BMW, they got chopsticks and they're eating sushi as they pull up. And they always fight over this one parking space and this one guy who's new to the carpool and they only voted him in,
Lisa,
you know, as a test case. He jumps out. He's like, I'll save the space. So he jumps in the space. He's like, they won't run over me. And then, boom, they run over him.
Guys, I'm having trouble listening. It sounds like we're still talking about carpooling.
It's a funny show.
I know that, believe me, I understand that taste is subjective. There's lots of stuff that I like that a lot of people don't. I totally understand that. But in this case, I think we can all agree you're just wrong.
Not one of you has seen it yet.
No, but Lisa,
Watch the show.
Your compelling argument that you came out of the gate with was they get in the carpool lane and they just whiz by everybody
it's
on the highway.
It's just a funny visual, that's all. But I mean, somebody watch the show before you contemn it.
Now, how was Cavemen? How was Cavemen?
Because
that was on right
before
Carpoolers.
I didn't even bother.
Oh, really? So Cavemen is below the line. Carpoolers somehow still above the line is acceptable.
Exactly.
I was on Carpoolers when I saw the slogan, what happens in the carpool lane stays in the carpool lane.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No,
that shows a real lack of imagination, exactly.
It's cute.
Well, USA Today gave it 1 star out of 4. That's the best review I've seen of Carpoolers.
I'd never seen a half-star review until I saw the review for Carpoolers.
They're just wrong.
I'm not saying they are right or wrong. I'm saying simply because I didn't watch the show, I'm not going to make any judgment. I'm saying I saw a half-star review.
Wait a minute. I haven't had my arm cut off, but I know it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, Lisa, you know, they have those people who are just shills for the movie companies, the ones you see on the posters for really, really bad movies.
Yes.
You should be that for television. You should be the guy who does the quotes. Lisa May, K-Rock Radio, says, I think it's hilarious. They whiz past everybody on the carpool lane.
Hey, guys.
And you can get in there. Yes, Omar.
I saw it.
Yes.
Oh, Omar saw Carpool. It's fantastic.
Awful freaking show.
Omar.
One of the worst shows I've seen.
Omar, it's...
But what about when the car is driving past the other car?
Hey, Kevin.
What? You're in the studio talking on your cell phone.
Oh.
There's a microphone right there.
The feedback.
Okay.
Nice.
What was wrong with it, Omar?
Dude, it's not funny. The whole episode was this guy who was just obsessing over people making more money than him. It wasn't funny. There's no jokes. Everything is long and drawn out. And this guy who thinks he's all buff and working out and thinks he's so
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah. He thinks he's so hilarious. And just every joke just falls flat.
What about the guy's fat wife who sits in the bar?
I couldn't watch it that long.
Oh.
It was so bad.
Damn it.
Honestly,
listen,
Lightning is wrong, man, for a lot of different reasons. Well, for all reasons, actually. But Lisa, when it comes to entertainment, I think we have found is pretty much the opposite of us in every way.
I'm going to say West Wing and
I'm
shut the
say
F up.
Exception and you shut the F up.
I'm going to say Dazed and Confused and shut the F up.
Yeah. I'm going to follow that with Brothers and Sisters and you shut the F up.
Whatever that is.
And then Carpoolers.
It's a funny show.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, Omar, I would respect your opinion if you weren't such a big Tim Allen fan, but thank you for coming in anyway. We appreciate that. So.
In this case, it's useful, though, isn't it?
I've been really paying attention to the new shows because I love TV. This is Bean speaking. I can't get enough TV. And so far, I have not added any new shows. Well, maybe Reaper. I think Reaper may be the one. But other than that, there hasn't been anything that has really like caught fire with me that I can't wait to TiVo.
Have you seen Life yet?
No.
Watch Life.
What is that?
It's about a guy, and I didn't
think... There's too many. There's just too many to keep straight.
I know. Well, the premise didn't sound that interesting to me. It's about a guy who is a cop, and he is framed for murder. He goes to prison for life, but then DNA test or something free him after 12 years.
Right.
He gets a huge settlement and he goes back to being a detective.
So even though he doesn't have to work, he's rich.
Right. So the guy goes through this change while he's in prison that makes him very zen-like, and he's the weirdest, quirkiest personality now. And he can't eat enough fresh fruit after being out of jail.
Let me
tell you something.
He's an English actor with a perfect American accent, and his take on this character is great.
At one point, this guy started eating fruit, and let me tell you, he couldn't stop.
It's just a funny thing.
It was crazy how much fruit he ate.
Well, you guys don't respect me, but Ralph.
We don't.
Does he carpool?
No.
You've got a shaky record.
Watch the show.
Listen. Little Miss, I'm better than you. Listen.
I don't try to tell people how wrong they are about their movie taste. I accept that I have bad taste. You might want to do that with me.
The difference is you haven't watched it yet. If you don't like it, fine. I'm just saying, don't judge it till you watch it.
I'm just saying, again, I don't have to cut off my arm to know it's bad.
It got more than a half a star.
Well, then.
It's actually getting pretty good reviews.
I'm all over it.
All right. You don't like my opinion.
Your opinion and your description sounds worse than I thought of it before.
Well, maybe I'm not good at describing
this guy, man, he would not stop eating fruit.
It's
crazy. Eat fruit all day, every day. He was out of his mind with fruit.
And Adam Arkin's in it too, who's really
good. Oh, he's good.
Yeah,
he's a good actor. Yeah. All right, let's move on because Lisa will cry if we don't. So let's talk about today's all new Kevin DeBede show.
Well, we got Don King on the program today. So really,
we're already late then.
Yeah, already late. We should have started about 3 hours ago. But Don King has some kind of a boxing event that he's going to promote.
All right.
What a surprise! So we're going to talk to him today. Bean's been ranting and raving about this Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog.
He loves that.
This is the one where they sell like submarines. And
I've never bought anything from it. Couldn't afford anything in it. But it's always fun to me to see the stuff that they go around the world to look for that you can buy. I mean, it's one of a kind items that have never been offered for sale anywhere. I just find it interesting.
Isn't that stuff like just for show? I mean, you don't think anyone says, honey, look out in the driveway, submarine. I mean, is anyone buying that stuff?
Does one person buy that? That's a good question.
I would love a submarine. Are you kidding me? But who's got $1.5 million to put down on it?
Someone
but, I mean,
does.
That's, you dream. That's what the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog is all about. Is you just dream.
But no, nobody actually buys that stuff.
No, people do. Yeah, of course they do. Hmm. Sure.
Hmm. All right. Kevin Smith's going to be in the studio today.
How about that?
Always love having him in.
He's great.
Fantastic. Let's see. We're going to talk to Jeff Boucher from the Los Angeles Times about the new Radiohead CD, which comes out this coming Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And this was cheaper than most. Bean, you'd be all over this. Bean, who drives around from store to store trying to get $7.99 to $7.89 to $7.69 so he can buy it. Free. That's the cost of this one. Just pay what you want.
Free for download, right, yeah. They're going to actually make a CD for stores apparently next year, but as of Tuesday, it's just free through the Radiohead website, and you pay what you like. And a lot of people are looking at this. Radiohead's a big enough band to see what kind of impact it's going to make on the music industry, so that's what we're going to be talking to the LA Times reporter about.
So they're going to let you download it for free, and then they're going to put a version in the stores next year, not even on the same day?
If people want to buy it, yeah.
Hmm. Okay, K-Fed song, I don't know if you heard, with the... him having custody of the kids.
Yes. His whole life has changed.
Give you some highlights of that just after 6 o'clock this morning. You are going to die because an amoeba is going to eat your brain.
Now, that happens to be true.
That is going to happen. Let's see. And also, we have this story out of China, which is really weird. They're having a National Communist Party, and they're banning all kinds of stuff in advance to try and make sure that they don't get embarrassed. And the stuff that they're banning is like sounds of sex or tantalizing language on TV or even underwear ads.
Well, what's odd is that this meeting is with people who live in their country.
That's what I don't get.
The ads are all over the country. It's not like they haven't seen or heard them already.
I can't answer that.
They're odd little people.
Yes, they are. Are they little? Are they, Lisa?
Well, yeah.
they are, as a matter of fact. Look at Shaolin.
So that's coming up this morning. Plus, don't forget, we are all week long, we're giving you a trip a day to spend Thanksgiving with Paramore in Nashville. You qualify to win the trip, plus you win tickets to see Paramore at the Grove or the Wiltern when we ask you to call in. Take a quick break, and Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
You can't believe how much fruit that guy ate. He just, one right after another, just fruit.
Can we put a moratorium on Lisa describing TV shows?
Because it's a good show, right?
Life is a great show, but you made it
sound like it should be a direct-to-DVD film from 1982.
Okay, you describe
I thought it was bad Ronald
she
was talking about.
Let me take a lesson from
you. All right, but Ralph, how much fruit did the guy eat? Was it a lot?
He eats a lot of fruit.
Here's the thing. The guy has been in prison for 12 years
right,
where,
got that.
Where you don't get an opportunity to get any sort of fresh fruit.
I so just
now
said
he's
that.
Obsessed with it.
So when he's done with one serving of fruit, what does he do?
Here's what life is.
Okay, good.
It's house with a cop.
Okay, I like that. Done. I'm in.
Okay. But in a carpool lane, right?
No, he's not in a carpool lane.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
Poor Lisa.
It's 5:51 Thursday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on today, Ralph?
Fruit.
Focusing he loves
on the
fruit.
Fruit. I know.
But all right.
But he's into like
funny.
Karma
he's a very
and Buddhism and stuff. He's got, you know.
Right. Well, you yeah. say that to Kevin, his eyes are going to glaze.
Well, I wouldn't focus on the fruit.
Oh, you say fruit, it's not going to get me.
Yeah. You like fruit?
I'm in. Yes, like I do fruit? Like fruit. So
all
does
right
no one's
then.
Arguing with
I'm
you.
I'm trying to give you neither something to identify with.
Right. See, Lisa's so used to programming her TV for her dogs that if they're like, there's a
yes.
cat or something in a show, she's like, oh, they like cats. I'll put this TV on. So she figures she's talking to Kevin. Kevin likes fruit. I'll mention that in the show. And then his eyes will just automatically wander towards the screen.
Somehow that's going to lock me into wanting to watch it.
Yeah. It's all about the fruit. E! Online reports that there is a new celebrity rehab check-in. Iron Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Can he
yeah.
afford rehab?
Here's the thing. He is spending $40,000 a week at a beachside resort-style treatment facility.
Oh, my God.
Where is he coming up with that kind of coin?
Wow, that is a good question.
He's going to be in for like a week and a half, and they're going to say, you're out of money, Mike. You got to leave. Apparently, he is trying to kick alcohol, prescription drugs, and ears.
He's hooked?
See, because he bit ears when he fought Holyfield. He bit his ear twice.
I think we got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. He eats a lot of fruit there at the facility. Does that help?
It does help.
Britney Spears may have a bigger problem than we even imagined, if that's possible.
How is that possible?
Sources close to the troubled idiot are telling Fox News that her real problem is a very severe cocaine addiction.
Hmm.
Well, I know that one of the many bodyguards that she's gone through this summer gave a pretty truthful-sounding confession about seeing her with white powder on the bedside table and smoking crack and the whole deal.
Reportedly, her brother and sister, Jamie and Jamie Lynn Spears, isn't that cute? The brother's name is Jamie, and the girl's name is Jamie Lynn.
I don't think I knew
pretty
that she
imaginative.
Had a brother.
Tried another shot at intervention on Monday after the court verdict.
Oh, no, that goes well usually with her.
Not surprisingly, Brittany wouldn't hear a word of it. So, there you go. However, yesterday in court, a judge made a terminal error in allowing Britney Spears to visit her two sons.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon said yesterday in a Los Angeles court that she can visit the sons, but Kevin Federline still has total custody. She has to work it out with him when she can come by and see the kids. Here's the thing. Federline was in court for the hearing. Brittany nowhere to be found.
Oh, good.
How badly does she want to see the kids when she can't make time to show up for the hearing and plead her case?
No kidding.
Another hearing's been scheduled for October 26th. And we'll know more about the permanent condition of the custody of the children. So.
Wow. I feel a lot of damage has already been done to those young boys.
Yeah.
You think?
These are the formative years between, you know, birth and five. They say that's when you're really making your imprint in terms of your personalities and stuff. I can't imagine how these kids are going to come out. Speaking of nasty custody battles, In Touch magazine has one of their famous lists of Hollywood's nastiest custody battles.
Okay.
Here's 10 to 1. Worst to first. David Hasselhoff and Pamela Bach, number
sure.
10. When you're worse in anything than Hasselhoff, I would just check myself out. I would just start licking the business end of a 45. Know what I'm saying? I think I read it that once. Anne Heche and Coley LaFoon.
Oh, yeah.
Number 9. Sadie Frost and Jude Law. Yeah, they had a bad one. That was number 8. Number 7. Marilyn Manson and Dita Von Teese fought over their cats and dogs.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty vicious custody battle for the cats and dogs. That was number 7. Larry Burkhead and Virgie Arthur and his mom.
Sure.
Okay. Matt Leinart and Bryn Cameron, number 5 on the list. Dina and Michael Lowen, yeah, they went at it when they split up. Kevin and Brittany make it only to number 3 on the list.
Wow, they got to be very disappointed.
Yeah. Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger were number 2.
I was just going to say, it's pretty famous.
You are a thoughtless little pig.
Yeah.
And number 1... with a bullet, and it keeps getting better every week. Charlie Sheen and Denise Richards, everybody.
Yeah, that's
please,
nice.
Please enjoy.
Comedy Central has made a horrible error and renewed Mind of Mencia.
Oh.
They've just ordered 10 new episodes of a show that has yet to be funny.
Yeah.
I find it occasionally funny.
Well, you like fruit.
Not as much as that kind of
like
TV show.
You like carpoolers then, obviously.
they go fast in the carpool lane.
Do they really fly? Funny. Wait a minute, do they fly by other cars?
Down.
Fly by.
Okay, I'm in now.
Yeah. And they've also ordered 10 new episodes of Lil Bush, the animated series. I don't know if you caught any of that, but that's occasionally funny to check that out. Ray J. You know Ray J.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
One of the Randy's little brother. Sex tapes,
Randy's
right?
little brother, exactly. Yeah, he was in the sex tape with Kim Kardashian. Yeah. He's writing an autobiography.
What?
How old is he?
What?
He's 10. I don't know.
My life through the seventh grade.
He's writing an autobiography that will hit store shelves next spring. And he says he's going to divulge lots of bedroom stories about the women he's slept with. He claims he slept with over 1,100 women.
Fantastic.
He claims.
Seriously, how old is he? He's like 22 or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. He claims he had his first sexual encounter at the age of 10. He said he's had sex with Kim Kardashian, of course we know that, Paris Hilton, and Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston?
Yeah. She was seeing him after she split up with Bobby.
My God.
So.
Do you believe that number?
Good for Ray J. No.
No, not at all.
I don't. I think if you sat down and did the math, you'd find you'd have to do nothing but that since he was 10 in order to accumulate those kind of numbers.
He does put in work. On that video. He does appear.
I'm not saying he's not great in bed, Mike.
He does appear to have practice.
Which is Mike's concern.
You just defended Mike. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't think the number is correct.
Okay. I'm just saying he has had practice. It's apparent. His technique is strong. Look,
I think about all the time I sank into getting laid throughout my life and what my numbers are compared to his, which are dwarfed by his numbers.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how much more work he'd have to put in to get 1,100.
But his name rhymes. Don't forget that.
His name does rhyme.
Don't
he does have Ray
that.
J. Yeah,
I mean, I
got Argar.
That's an aphrodisiac.
That is true. Yeah, we've done the math on some of these celebrities. You know, we analyzed the Will Chamberlain number, for instance, and we figured out that at least he's in a different city every night playing basketball, and you know what that entails and everything. We figured out, you know, his number was even exaggerated a little bit. Yeah. I can't imagine that Ray J's is anywhere close to what the real number is. I mean, he may have had 200 and tells people it's 1,000.
Even 500 would be an enormous accomplishment.
Yeah. Yes.
Given his level of celebrity, which really isn't that high, and given his access to, you know, women in clubs and stuff like that, maybe 5. 1,100. Come on.
Yeah.
Please.
We're calling BS on you, Ray J. Sorry.
Please. And speaking of multiple partners, Chloe Sevigny on HBO's show Big Love.
Mm-hmm.
You watch The Big Love?
Love The Big Love.
Very, very good show. It. She was asked in a recent interview with the New York Daily News if she could be polygamous.
Oh, dear God.
What three men would she like to come home to? Because Bill Paxton's got three wives on the show. So if you could have three husbands, who would you pick? Celebrities.
That's why I hate celebrity interviews.
She picked Sean Penn. That'd be a good time. That'd be a bowl of cherries right there.
Yeah.
That'd be some fresh fruit, huh, Lisa?
Yes,
Sean Penn at home?
He's a party in a person.
Benicio del Toro?
He's hot.
Yeah, but he smells. He's got a smell,
he's dirty,
right?
Dirty hot.
He's got a smell.
Yeah.
More dirty than hot.
Yeah.
And lastly, my personal choice, Clive Owen, would be her third choice.
Oh. Not bad.
That's who I'd like to come home to.
Not a lot of laughs in that house, though.
No, there wouldn't be when you think about
that's
it.
True.
A lot of dour sort of
intense
dinners there with the Sevigny family.
She definitely has a type. There's no Jerry Seinfeld to lighten the mood, is there?
Nope.
Could you please pass the potatoes? Yeah, pass them. Okay, here's some salt, man.
So how was your day, honey?
Yeah, no.
Kind of grumpy. Today's celebrity birthday is a ton of celebrities.
Outstanding.
Rachel Lee Cook.
Ooh.
Very beautiful and talented actress. She's 27 years old
today.
She's
all that.
Alicia Silverstone.
No.
Recently
yes.
in the...
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
She looked good in that ad.
No.
She
didn't look good in the ad.
Have you seen her in the PETA ad?
I saw a picture of her face hyperimposed on what appeared to be a normal-looking female body.
I think she's lost a ton of weight with Psycho.
Too,
I think she's gone
she
the whole fitness
she's
work
very
out
attractive.
There.
I'm afraid we have to pull back those bells. Sorry.
How dare you? Look, I admit her personality is ugly. Her personality, you have to take points off her looks for. But
what's,
I still think she reached the bell.
Yeah.
Her personality is okay. Her looks are bad.
Have you seen the PETA commercial, though?
Yes.
I don't think so.
She's hot.
She's pretty good in the PETA commercial.
She looks fantastic. She does. I'm reinstating the bell.
Kevin, you know I hate the back bean. But I'm telling you, it's pretty impressive. It's a battle of the bells.
Nice.
Liev Schreiber. One of the just the best actors working, I think. He's 39 years old today. Russell Simmons, co-founder of Def Jam Records, is 49. Armand Lasante. Armand Lasante. He is 57 years old today. Susan Sarandon, actress and activist, is 60 years old today. Anne Rice, author of The Interview with the Vampire and many other novels about bloodsuckers, is 65 years old today. But the reason we celebrate, ladies and gentlemen, grab your pistols, shoot them in the air, Charlton Heston.
Oh,
how about that?
Chuck Heston. Not only did he, you know, fight the apes for our planet, got to give him that, but he told us that Soylent Green was people.
He did.
Where would we get that information without Chuck?
That's correct.
That's a one-gun salute for Chuck. He's 83 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don King on the way, talking about a couple of boxers we've never heard of.
But somehow, and this is the magic of Mr. King, he'll make it sound like the most important, significant boxing match in history. And we'll be forced to watch it because of his enthusiasm. That's coming up. Also, Incubus Offspring Killers later this hour. And our friend Kevin Smith joins us in less than 1 hour from right now. First, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. 323-520-AFRO.
Everyone seems to be happy with our choices these days, and that's very gratifying.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Kevin. So, what are we going to do about the show tomorrow? I don't know. We could have, like, some really hilarious something going on, or we could have some old boring fart come on and talk about how he used to be a comedian. You know what, Kevin? I think that's a good idea. Let's do that, because we're lame. All right, yeah, let's be lame. Yeah, we're lame.
Is that a disparaging call about the great George Carlin?
I believe so.
Is that what she's talking about?
That was my guess, yeah.
Huh. How dare you, listener? How dare you?
We were talking to Window Licker Nick about the fact that, A, his MTV show is probably never going to air about virgins.
Right.
And, B, we were asking him a lot of questions about his Tijuana hooker.
Hey, guys. It's funny that you keep saying the Tijuana hooker when that's, like, my favorite sexual position.
You have to look that one up. I didn't know about that.
What the hell, man? Shut up, Beavis. I got the phone. God damn it. Shut up.
Yes.
Very timely.
Yes.
Hey, call back when you get your Pee Wee Herman impression down.
Hey, guys. I wasn't able to get on the air today. This is for the money guy.
Yeah, that's our guy right there. Hey, your best. Love that guy.
So I just heard a commercial on your show for the movie Across the Universe, and it said Roger Ebert says 4 stars. Did he really say 4 stars, or did he just kind of hold up 4 fingers and then give a thumbs up and nod his head?
I'm afraid it's probably the latter, you know. He's in bad shape.
Did you guys watch Heroes the other night with Claire cutting off her toe and whatnot?
Claire cut off her toe! I have 3 questions about that. 1, did the dog eat it? 2, did the toe grow another Claire? If so, can I have that Claire? And 3, how do we fly Claire to the Lost Island? Because if she can cut off body parts, she can be a constant source of food for the characters of Lost.
Those are all excellent questions. And by the way, if the toe grew another Claire, now we got ourselves a show.
Now
that's fantastic.
We were talking yesterday about the fact that Bean has something called Asperger's.
Nope.
Oh, Bean.
We gave him a quiz. Bean. We gave him a quiz out of 50 questions. 34 is considered extreme. He scored a 41.
How do you explain that?
He just blindly denies.
I just don't. We did put that interview, by the way, up at krock.com, and there is the link to the Asperger's quiz, because we got a lot of people emailing yesterday saying, hey, I need to see that quiz my own self. So it is up in the Kevin Bean section of krock.com. Somebody's calling about that?
Let's say anyone else scored a 41 out of 50, Bean. Would you say they had Asperger's?
Well, I'm a little bit more familiar with my situation than I would be some random person that I'm just looking at paperwork on.
I see. So yours
I'm
is
just
completely
telling you,
different.
I'm just saying I don't have the Asperger's. That's all I'm saying.
Average is 16. Extreme is 34. You had a 41.
Yeah, but still.
Hi, this is Billy Christopher, and I came in a little late on this conversation about Asperger's and that Dean has Asperger's. Well, I'm just curious, you know, where I can go and get some of these, Asperger's. They sound delicious.
Yeah, it's not a burger with a B, it's a P.
Yeah, it's not what you're thinking at all, sir. Sorry.
No. People that have Asperger's, they have trouble getting along with others.
Mm-hmm.
They have no empathy. They can't understand that somebody listening to their conversation might not be into it as much as they... And they're also obsessed with maps.
Clean. You know what I'm looking at right now? A map. I'm looking at California. Arizona.
New Mexico, Texas, South Florida. Ooh. Tonight, it's a world map.
Oh. Oh, must be very exciting for him.
He's just teasing me with that. Boxing promoter legend Don King on the program later on. Also, our friend Kevin Smith will be in here later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
Only in America.
Yep.
Oh, the dude. Can't wait for Don. Don's the best.
He is something. I'd watch Carpoolers if Don King and Kevin Smith were two of the people in the car.
That would be a good show.
That would be fascinating.
It'd be fascinating to hear that conversation between those two.
They would still zoom down the highway, mm-hmm. though, because they'd be in right that carpool lane.
It's funny.
We're talking about shows we like, new fall shows. Lisa likes Carpoolers.
I do. Yeah. Apparently, he's not going to be around long, so if you want to see it, watch it quickly.
Enjoy it now before the box set of the entire series comes out next week. You know what I've been watching that I like? The second episode was last night, is Kane. Have you been watching the Kane on CBS? It's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's like, it's a nighttime sort of primetime soap opera, but the guys can watch. Because it's kind of like Cuban Godfather.
Oh, no kidding.
It's this guy taking over the family business, played by Jimmy Smith, and he's going up against competing business interests that are his enemies, and he's offing people, and he's beating people up. And it's
Is it Sopranos-esque?
Fantastic.
It's not that gritty. It's much more like The Godfather, kind of like when Michael Corleone took over the crime family. But Jimmy Smith's real good, and there's some smoking hot Latina chicks in it, that's for sure.
Fantastic.
So you're going to check that out on CBS on Wednesday nights.
I have a clip of a show I saw last night that was awesome, by the way, if you want to hear it. Sarah Silverman came back with her first episode of season number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And she somehow accidentally joins a women's group that's out protesting abortion clinics.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a topic that only the lovely Sarah could cover the way she did. And then it turns out she recognized the abortion doctor.
Sarah, do you know him?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dr. Lynch is my abortion doctor.
You've had an abortion?
Well, I've had abortions. Abortion.
Sarah, how many have you had?
Three. Well, the first time I was a kid, and then the second time was just not a good time for me. A lot going on. And then the third time I was just like, what?
That's our girl. That's our girl.
Oh, I gotta love Sarah. Last night I also got a chance to hang out with Jack Nicholson. That was pretty cool.
I'm sorry.
What?
Excuse me?
Last night was the AFI celebrating their 40th anniversary. AFI, American Film Institute.
Right.
Uh-huh. And so they had an evening of movies at the Arclight Cinemas. 12 different movies, each presented by someone who had something to do with the film.
And he was one of them?
So they had, 14, 15 different screens going. And you had, in one theater you walked past, Clint Eastwood was in there talking about Unforgiven.
Really?
And the next theater was George Lucas showing Star Wars, talking about that.
No way!
Rob Reiner and Billy Crystal talking about When Harry Met Sally. Wow. Julie Andrews introducing The Sound of Music. And I was in the theater where Jack Nichols came out and talked to us about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No kidding. Wow.
Which, if you've never seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you really owe it to yourself. It's the first film since 1934 or something to win all 5 major awards, actor, actress, film, writing, and directing. And it's just an amazing film. And he was so entertaining.
Was he?
So entertaining. Yeah.
I'm surprised he remembers that movie.
How dare you?
I'm just saying, at his age and with everything he's done since.
He remembered details. I mean, he got into some stuff. We were like looking at each other, is he going to go on with this? I remember I had a dog, and the dog loved the prison across the street from the hospital where we were shooting. And I'd come out, and my driver would say, well, the dog's gone again. I'm like, is he going to do 20 minutes on the dog he had on the set? I mean, he remembered everything.
Damn, wow, glad a bomb didn't drop on that theater last night, too.
Yeah, everybody in show business was there. So it was pretty cool.
That sounds
quite an evening.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to George Takei.
Yeah.
He's been given quite the award.
What's the award?
An asteroid between Mars and Jupiter has been named Takei.
Really?
Okay.
Yes. An asteroid has been named 7307 Takei in honor of the actor. Best known for playing, of course, Hikaru Sulu on Star Trek and also on Heroes. He played that dude who's now dead.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. They named an asteroid after him. Pretty cool, huh? Nah. it's like buying that star. Someone didn't want to get him a birthday present. Oh, we'll name an asteroid after you, Sulu. Sure. Congratulations.
Sure. Very happy to have an asteroid.
Remember when Psycho Mike met George? Oh,
yeah. You know, you really should be on television. You're a dashing-looking guy.
Really?
Yeah, matinee idol profile.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, so people should see you as well as hear you.
Yeah. He's trying to get Mike's asteroid there, I'll tell you that.
Oh. Those Indiana Jones thefts I told you about yesterday where the computers and photographs from the set were taken?
Yep.
Yes.
Solved! If only the
fantastic.
Cops moved this quick when it came to other crimes.
Wow, what happened? How'd they find him so quick?
Here's the thing. The dude who stole the computers and the photographs from the set was trying to sell them, just as they expected.
Right.
And so he was offering a sale of these really illegal photographs, very secretive photographs, to different entertainment gossip websites. So they caught wind of that, and the L.A. County Sheriff's Department sent up a sting saying they were buyers. So the guy shows up with everything under his arm. Bum.
How about that?
Cuffs.
How stupid is he to not see that coming, by the way?
I know. He should have done a little more research before he went to set up that buy. But I was thinking, I'm glad I'm not a county sheriff's department, because I would have gone the wrong route. I would have interviewed all the Nazis I could.
Yeah.
Because they hate Indiana Jones, and he hates them. So I figured that's the most likely suspect, right? Who's going to hurt Indies?
Maybe that's why you're doing this.
It's going to be
that.
The Nazis. So I would start knocking on doors of, like, you know, Hitler and those guys. They wouldn't answer.
They have doors?
Because they're dead.
Those guys?
Yeah. And the Family Guy's being sued.
About time.
Now.
So wrong. This is so wrong.
They get sued a lot.
They do. They tick off a lot of people. You remember the classic episode, When You Wish Upon a Weinstein, where Peter decides he needs a Jew?
Yes.
He needs a Jew because his family's finances are all screwy. And he decides he's got to get himself a Jew who can help them, you know, balance their books and make investments and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, the people who own the song When You Wish Upon a Star that appeared in Pinocchio in the Walt Disney movie.
Yeah.
Don't like their song being parodied and having anti-Semitic lyrics in it, according to what they say. Actually, the song is very pro-Jew. It says all the good things they do. They're good with money and they're good lawyers and that kind of stuff. But some people could say it might be anti-Semitic.
Doesn't really matter what the intention is.
Not so much.
A lot of times.
So they're being sued not only for unrevealed amount, but they want the distribution of that episode to stop completely. When it pulled from all the video box sets, DVDs, no longer aired, all that kind of stuff.
Ralph, I'm sure many of our listeners are listening to this story and thinking, isn't there some sort of parody excuse that they can use? I mean, isn't that protected parody?
You would think. I guess we'll find out when the lawsuit gets played out in court. They should be covered by the First Amendment right to protection of parody, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, here at K-Rock, they wouldn't let us get away from stuff, even though we would say, it's a parody! Don't care.
Nope.
Yeah, they don't care at all.
No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah, so you never know.
Remember when Kevin almost got sued by that guy who wrote that Christmas song?
Oh, I'll never forget that. What's so funny, man? You got some big trouble, Kevin. I hope you're happy.
No idea what you're talking
about. I don't either.
That was a song about...
The one that we couldn't put on the CD?
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the one where you're talking about...
Punch in the Face for Christmas, right?
Oh, Punch in the Face for Christmas, yeah. They wouldn't let us... We argued parody back then. It didn't fly
either.
Nope. Didn't change the words enough, apparently.
Yeah.
I'll punch you in the face for Christmas. Not covered.
And lastly, Kid Rock. This thing is getting ugly between him and Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson. Now he's coming at Pam. Not bad if he's taking swings at Tommy Lee. He said that she lied about having a miscarriage after they had a fight during their marriage last year.
Wow.
Kid Rock claims that he had to delay a visit to her on the set of her movie in Canada so he could attend a Lakers game. And she said, you don't care about me. She was on the phone and finally said, I just had a miscarriage, and hung up the phone on him.
Baby killer.
In November of 2006, Anderson's publicist did issue a statement confirming reports that she had a miscarriage. But Rock said that it was a lie. He said when he got to Vancouver, she was at this restaurant drinking champagne, jumping on tables, and I'm thinking that's a quick recovery from a miscarriage.
Wow.
That was a good marriage right there.
Yeah, that was ugly. When we talked to him just before K-Rock's LA invasion, he was really happy to be out of that relationship.
Yeah.
That was a little shocking to me. He was like, thank God I got out of that. That was unhealthy.
Yeah.
Pam says he's just bitter. He's bitter, she said. It's sad to see. I don't want to battle with him. I wish him the best. I hate to point out habits I had a hard time with. They are personal to him, and that's why we are not together. These are desperate attempts. I've moved on.
Oh.
That makes him look even worse when she's not fighting back. And she's banging Rick Solomon. So,
yeah, but that's a bad choice.
You lose on every level.
She's moved on many times since Kid Rock, by the way.
Hal, what are you trying to infer or imply? I will not stand for that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Charlton Heston. One of the greats. You haven't seen Charlton Heston work until you see him play a Mexican lawyer in Touch of Evil. No one comes off more Latino than swarthy Charlton Heston.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's magic. He's 83 years old today. Susan Sarandon turned 60. Armand Asante. He's 57 years old today. You know, he's in Two for the Money with me, Armand.
Was he?
Yes, he played a gangster in that
movie. Well, he was in it. It was his later than that.
He had a lot more screen time. His scenes were left in the movie. Russell Simmons, co-founder of Def Jam Records, 49 years old today. Liev Schreiber is 39. Alicia Silverstone turns 30 years old today.
Yes.
He's
going to
let it go.
Let
it go. Come on.
I said, Kevin, the photos and the video from the PETA shoot. Kevin, you're wrong on this one.
No.
And Rachel Lee Cook.
There we go.
Delicious young actress is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We can bring on our next guest and we can just go have breakfast because we're not needed.
I've been thinking, Kevin, that the world has been too quiet lately. What the world needs is a little more Don King on the Kevin DeBate Show. We're very happy to welcome the man, the legend himself, back to the show. Good morning, Mr. King.
It's great to be back on K-Rock and you don't know how sweet it is. You know what I mean? So listen, not only that, I got Shaggy returns with Intoxication. You know, Shaggy is the Jamaican singer that goes with the hip-hop and the dance hall.
Right,
and
certainly.
He's going to be working with in a promotion and helping us out here at the fight on October the 6th with Samuel Peter, the Nightmare, from Jameel McClain. It's 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, thanks to Ken Hirschman, the executive at Showtime with the vision that would allow us to have this fight on.
Now, Don, the fight is Saturday night. It's live on Showtime, right?
Live on Showtime. What time is it? Showtime. And so we're gonna be giving this fight to all of the troops all around the world.
Okay,
and
good.
And we want to salute our troops because they're the vanguard of our nation. They put themselves in harm's way so that we can have the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy. And I just want to say God bless our troops and we support them with all of our heart because they are wonderful. They're the embodiment of this great nation called America.
Now, Donna, forgive me for not following this as closely as I probably should, but I've never heard of Samuel Peter or Jameel McClain.
That ain't nothing. You know, yesterday you didn't know Benjamin Franklin. You know what I mean? But now you know him now. You know what I mean? So yesterday's nobody is tomorrow's somebody. That's what makes America so great. The opportunity in the land of opportunity. Everything in America gives the people a chance. And so we got to give Sam Peter a chance. He's a world champion. So he got to be recognized. Now, how can you get to be recognized? By defending your title successfully. If he continues to do that, you will know who he is. And if he don't, we'll get the guy who beat him. We'll know who he is.
All right.
So Samuel Peter is the IBF heavyweight champion right now, and he's defending his title.
WBC. Biggest organization, WBC heavyweight champion.
Okay. All right, fantastic. So these two fighters will be a good matchup, is what you're promising our listeners if they watch it on Showtime.
I'm promising you this is nothing but the fact, just like Walter Cronkite says, and that's the way it is. You got also Andrew Gallardo on the card. He will be fighting from Poland against Kevin McBride, the last man to beat Tyson, and he's from Ireland. Irish lullaby. Old Danny boy. So all the Irish are coming. We got the Puerto Ricans. Will be Daniel Santos against Jose Rivera. 12-round elimination fight at Madison Square Garden. Viva Puerto Rico. And then you have DeVera Williamson from Colorado. They call him the Colorado Kid. And he's taking on Kelly Meehan, the Thunder from Down Under, from out in Australia. So we got a UN type of smorgasbord here. And we call it Faith, Hope, and Glory. And you hear it right here on K-Rock. And I want you to know, with Kevin and the Bean and Lisa, we are giving it to you right now, live and in living color on K-Rock.
Don, let me ask you this question. I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but nobody seems to love any of these Republican presidential candidates. Everybody says, well, Giuliani's got this, but he doesn't have this. And this candidate's got this, but he doesn't have this. Everybody loves Don King. Why isn't Don King available for me to vote for the Republican presidential nominee?
Well, you know, I must say this. See, I love George Walker Bush. And I mean, sometimes that don't sit well to others, but you can't run with the hares and hunt with the hounds. I was with Bush, I'm with Bush, and I will be with Bush. Because I think Bush is a revolutionary president, And he will demonstrate that whoever gets into the White House behind him, you know, he's taking the word lame duck away from the president. They can no longer use that lame duck thing no more, because he's more active in the lame position than one would be.
Okay.
So ain't no lame, because he's still wild out there vetoing and fighting and doing whatever he has to do. But I can tell you this. I am a Republican. I am for whoever is going to make a better America. Whoever the leadership that will bring black and white together, brown and red, all of us in that melting pot theory that we always exhort, that's what I want to be able to say, this is the one I'm for.
And but why isn't it you, Don?
I'm observing right now.
But why not you, Don? You're the guy who ought to be leading this country, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know what? This country is the greatest nation in the world. And one thing about it, opportunity in the land of opportunity is something that one can utilize to its best ability. I would like to be the voice crying in the wilderness, a John the Baptist, so to speak, that would say it's one that's coming that's greater than I. The fuel and the tanks that drive the motor that makes this thing happen for America, because I think America's the greatest nation in the world, bar none, and in spite of the iniquities and injustice that we're beleaguered with, we must find ways and means to resolve them and mitigate them to their narrowest form and extol the virtues of this great nation, one land, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You're going to see that, but in the meantime, while we're doing that, the liberty that I'm talking about, we can enjoy on Saturday night at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, very well done.
You get right back to it.
With Sam Peters and Jameel Big Time McClain.
All right, now, Don, I know you have to go soon, but I did want to ask if you've seen the photos and what you think about the Oscar De La Hoya situation with him dressing up like a woman.
Well, you know, I think that this has been a great fight. You know, we got what's the mother Puerto Ricans? Daniel Santos and Jose Rivera. That's it. You know what I mean? I think it's just so wonderful. You know, and Mayorga is going to be fighting Vargas on November the 23rd. And then on next Saturday night, we got Diaz versus Diaz in Chicago at the Sears Center. It is a fabulous fight, man. This is something Viva Mexico! Viva Mexico!
I need to learn the skill of actually not saying one word about the question
God,
asked.
It's going K-Rock! I'm on K-Rock
right,
with Kevin
Feeney! Right.
No one could be prouder than you. Cannot hear me. I said a little louder. I'm on K-Rock. That's K-R-O-Q. K-Rock. And we are going to be bringing it to you live and in living color. Telling it like it is, and
thank you, Mr.
taking it like we find it, and leaving it like it is.
Saturday night, Don. Showtime, 10 o'clock, I think, on the West Coast.
10 o'clock, Showtime. It's going to be great, and we got Shaggy. Don't forget Shaggy.
Shaggy?
Well, how
Shaggy,
can we forget
boy,
Shaggy?
He's that American singer that makes
all right.
The
record. We got to go, Don. We love you, but we got to go.
Okay, you got to go. So let's go with a tune with Shaggy. Get ready. Strap yourself in and get this ride of your life.
All right. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Love you. On in America.
All right. Bye now.
What? Well, he certainly clarified the whole Oscar De La Hoya picture thing for you, Kevin. He took care of that.
He didn't say one word about it. And yet, you kind of get the feeling that you missed it. He answered.
I would pay so much to have him be our president. Wouldn't you? Can you imagine every speech, every press conference, every State of the Union would be just like that? We'd be so confused.
And all Americans would settle fights with boxing. I think that might actually be a good idea.
Was that one over, too? Did we miss the end of that one?
I think I nailed it. But but people don't realize how close I was to missing it.
Yeah. Right. We do.
Yeah.
Kevin, all I'm saying is why not pay $1.44 million for the submarine in the Neiman Marcus 2007 Christmas catalog? Why not? That's all I'm saying.
Every year when this comes out, Bean is obsessed with this Neiman Marcus catalog, their Christmas catalog, whatever it is, where they sell like boats and cars and trips around the world and all this stuff and a submarine.
You know, all of us, Bean is the one person who could actually use a submarine.
I could use a submarine to get off the island, right?
Yeah, but I mean... they don't really sell any of this stuff. Let me start by saying it is the 4th of Rocktober.
I understand
okay,
that.
Okay, so we still have almost a month to go before Halloween, and then we have Thanksgiving and then Christmas. So it's a little early for Christmas talk for me.
What if they have to deliver the sub across country and they have to, you know, ship it?
All right. Let me answer. That's a good point, Lisa. There would be some travel and time involved. Let me answer Kevin's initial criticism is that they don't really sell any of this stuff, okay?
They can't,
last year, for instance, they put the first 50 off the production line of the new, at that time, BMW M6s, okay? $139,000 BMW was in the catalog. They sold out all 50 of them in 92 seconds,
right,
okay?
I don't doubt that because there's a market for that. But I don't know who's going to buy a submarine. I mean, nobody's going to get up on Christmas morning and look out in the driveway and go, a submarine, just what I wanted.
that be cool, though?
I mean, no!
What about the Neiman Marcus offered $73,000 Virtu Signature diamond phone with 7.2 carats of white and pink diamonds? Will somebody buy that?
Some rappers already ordered that.
Probably, yeah. And they'll also get, you know, their hand cut off to get it. Somebody else.
Kimora Simmons will buy that, by the way. That
you
sounds
bet.
Like the type of thing she would buy. Well, we've been talking about the Christmas catalog, which is, of course, just came out yesterday. And now we find out that that's so 20th century. Now we found out that there's another Christmas catalog that's even bigger, even better, that we didn't even know about. And we've got Jules Klein on the line right now. He is the Vice President of Marketing for Klein & Klein. Is that the name of the agency, sir?
Klein & Klein.
Oh, there's five.
Klein & Klein.
Okay.
And which one are you?
I'm Klein.
You're Klein. Okay, fantastic. Now, so Neiman Marcus, Schmieman Marcus is what I understand your company
That's
says.
That's what I'm saying. I heard you guys talking about this Neiman Marcus catalog, and we're trying to get the word out there. We've been in the retail business for over 75 years, and we've been doing a catalog and now internet deals for over 75 years, and they get all the press, and we don't get any press. So I wanted to be able to go on the air and talk to you guys about our amazing high-end Christmas items this year that truly put Neiman Marcus to shame.
Well, how do you top a $75,000 robot or a $1.5 million submarine? I mean,
easy.
Really?
Easy.
Like what? Name one thing.
Easy.
Name one thing.
All right, I'll tell you something about our big sellers this year. We're really fucking looking forward to moving this item, okay? First and foremost, we have a three-wheel all-terrain vehicle that runs purely on Hoffenol.
What?
What's Hoffenol?
What?
It's the blood of David Hasselhoff.
Wow.
Well, it'd be very difficult for most of us to fuel a vehicle like that up unless we actually kidnapped Mr. Hasselhoff.
For $750,000, Hasselhoff will be at your disposal. Anytime you run out, you go by and just pull a couple pints right out of him.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, well, that is
impressive.
He's
got so much alcohol in there, you can go 175 miles an hour in this thing.
Good point.
It's like rocket fuel.
Okay.
It's like rocket fuel. Here at Klein & Klein. Started by my great-grandfather, Ira Klein, then my father, Klein, and then me, Klein, and then my two brothers, Howard and Michael Klein.
Okay, excellent.
Okay. Very good.
For $400,000, if you're on a budget, we can give you a sweater made solely from the back hair that was shaved off of Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh man.
Wow.
We shave her down, we weave it into a lovely soft, oh, it's like cashmere, it is. it's smelly, but it's good.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't imagine that one's going to move this year. I got to be honest with you.
For $1 million, you can be the person that administers Britney Spears' lethal overdose.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You mean you got her to okay that?
Well, you're going to have to follow around for a while, but it's just a matter of time. We figure it'll be in plenty of time before Christmas. Okay. Whatever it is, Coke, meth, Taco Bell, Yoo-Hoo, whatever she overdoses on, you can be there handing it to her. For a mil, it's a bargain!
Yes, a lot of people would enjoy that. That's a good point, Jules.
For $500,000, we can have O.J. Simpson come to your Christmas party and rob everybody.
Oh, good.
He'll come wielding a gun and take all the wallets and watches off you and your guests. Imagine the hilarity.
And you already sold one of those, right?
We did. We moved one in Vegas recently.
Wow.
It was a real crowd pleaser.
People would never stop talking about your Christmas party. That might be worth it, actually. That's a good idea.
That's what I'm saying. And the big item this year, the one we're really, really hoping to move quickly, $1.3 million. Buys you a spelunking tour of Pamela Anderson's vulva.
Oh, wow.
You and 12 of your friends get to descend into the depths of Pamela Anderson. We give you helmets with lights on them. We give you all the ropes that you need to lower yourself in.
Sure.
We give you those pitons you can nail into the side of the wall there so you don't fall. It's going to be an amazing trip.
Now, is this another one where we've got to wrestle Pam to the ground, or have you cleared this with her?
Trust me, she won't even feel you.
Let me tell you why we rule. Let me tell you why Kevin and Bean are the best.
Oh, Lord. I want to hear this.
You might want to sell that a little softer.
Because we have very little to do with it, but the guests will deliver. Tomorrow, Luke Robitaille, former Los Angeles King legend, joins us in studio ahead of the new hockey season. Perry Farrell with the band Satellite Party performing live on the show tomorrow. And Ralph, your personal TV god and hero, Andrew Siciliano from NFL Sunday Ticket from the Red Zone Channel is going to be here tomorrow, too. Plus, we're going to talk to the executive producer of The Meerkat Manor. You know, the world is in mourning after what happened to Flower, right? So we got to talk about that. That's tomorrow. All right here. Hey, don't laugh, man. That
I
was
can't
tough.
Watch it. It's too sad.
Come
that was tragic.
This whole Meerkat thing is lost on me, by the way. I know it's a major TV phenomenon.
Listen,
everybody's
I watch
all
it, too,
up.
But let's not mistake it for something important.
I'm just not all so wrapped up as some people in our
Dear
office
God.
And on our show.
Have
I
you
won't
no
watch it.
Decency, my friend? Have
they're,
you no
they're
soul?
They're little desert rats. They just live and die. That's it.
No, they don't,
let it alone.
They have lives.
Who am I talking to?
They
people who
loves,
put TV on for their dogs.
Friends.
Yeah. There's people dying. That doesn't bother him. No, but this little meerkat goes down.
Everyone's all upset. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Reality TV, man.
Kevin Smith joins us after 8. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat right now.
Do the meerkats
eat
fruit?
When they die.
Do they eat fruit?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Wait a minute. They die when they die?
Yes. It's not like a TV show. They really die.
I hate you.
You don't understand.
E! Online is reporting that Iron Mike Tyson is the latest celebrity to check into rehab. He's spending $40,000 a week, they claim, to be at a beachside resort-style treatment facility.
How does he have that kind of money?
That's what I would like to know. For everything I know, last night, no, he was so broke, he was performing at a casino. He was training in a ring when people would walk in, remember?
It's Caesars.
You pay like $5 to watch him hit a speed bag or something?
Himself like a trained chimp to raise some money, and now he's got $40,000 to go into rehab?
You're scared, coward! You got man enough to f*** me! You can't last 2 minutes in my world, scared now, you scared like a little white.
Yeah.
Scared of the real man.
I am.
So you love
me. I am. Don't hurt me. Word is they're trying to get him off of drugs and tattoos on his face. Trying to get him to quit that habit.
Those are the most addictive.
Yeah, they really are. Have you seen the Eva Longoria sex tape? Well, it's not really a sex tape. Of course, there was a much rumored sex tape about Eva Longoria and her husband, Tony Parker.
Right.
But that doesn't exist. However, Eva, showing her legendary sense of humor, has done a parody sex tape that you can find on the internet. If you go to Funny or Die, the website that's run by Will Ferrell and his partner, very, very good, funny website, you can see the sex tape featuring Eva and her partner in the sex tape, a character named Perry Hilton, played by comedian Eric Christian Olsen. And the two of them, this supposedly takes place like in 2004, before Eva gets on Desperate Housewives.
Right.
And it's all shot in that green night vision lens. And it's them just bouncing on the bed and pillow fighting and ordering room service and pushing each other. And it's very, very entertaining. So you might want to check that out at funnyordie.com. She says just at the end of the tape, she's like, come on, we have to get some sleep. I've got an audition for something called Desperate Housewives. And he goes, that sounds like a piece of crap. Harry Potter star Emma Watson, who plays Hermione in that movie series.
Yeah.
Is worth $20 million.
Really?
Nice.
Wow. She's 17 years old.
Oh, sorry.
Wrong bell, Bean.
Wrong bell. I apologize.
And she doesn't have any money.
Because she's 17.
Because she's
17 and because her parents are real parents and they don't want her to Britney out. So she has to get a monthly allowance from her dad. Imagine having 20 mil in the bank and you got to go to dad to get cigarette money, cigarette and condom money. You know?
I'd like a smoothie. Could I? No.
No. Go mow the lawn. He really helps me because he doesn't want me to live this completely different crazy lifestyle, she said. I'm not spoiled. He gives me a monthly allowance. He insists. And to be honest, I appreciate that. It makes me feel more normal. Now, there are some parents who care about their child star daughter. Someone had done that with Lindsay Lohan or Britney Spears. We might be living in a different world right now.
Yep. That's true.
Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, it's about time for her to check out of the Cirque Lodge. And interestingly, she's been telling friends that she wants to get out of L.A. and Hollywood for a while. And she'd like to go to school. She's interested in going to college.
Wow.
Really?
A change.
Wouldn't that be amazing if she cleaned up her act and went to college?
Yep.
Yeah.
And actually became somebody?
Right.
She's looking into a few schools on the East Coast, she claims, and NYU right now is her first choice.
Wait.
So she wants to get out of Los Angeles because of the parties, and she's going to go to NYU.
I think she wants to get out of the show business for a while. She wants to get out of the movie-making industry and go into a school and just dedicate herself to a couple years' worth of college, which might do her world a good.
Don't, like, exception standards apply to Lindsay Lohan? How's she going to get into NYU or any of these schools? Like, I mean,
You think her SATs aren't exactly skyrocketing in the scores?
GPA or, like, a reputable high school?
SATs are, like, mid 400s,
well,
probably.
She can get in.
That and money.
Look what Kevin's done with his 400 SATs.
Wasn't quite 400.
Britney Spears will get to visit her two sons, but ex-husband Kevin Federline will continue to have full custody. That's what a court commissioner said yesterday in a ruling in a courtroom here in Los Angeles.
Is that Commissioner Gordon?
It was Commissioner Gordon.
All right.
It was, Lisa.
Yes, Commissioner.
Batman.
Spears. What about her?
Batman running into the courtroom. Commissioner Gordon, the Joker's back in town. Who are you? Get out. I should have gone down there in my costume.
You should have.
Thinking.
Oh, they have a good sense of humor about
that. Yes, they do. Kevin, by the way, Federline, was at the hearing. Brittany was nowhere to be seen as they were fighting for her rights to see her children. So
Wow.
Excellent. What does that tell you?
She's only fighting for right to party, apparently.
Oh!
No way.
Oh! Oh!
How does he do it?
How does he do it?
Badly.
It's a gift and a curse, turns out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Charlton Heston. Come on. Chuck Heston, everybody.
How old is that guy now?
83 years old. But the good news is he's got the Alzheimer's. So
he doesn't know he's 83?
He doesn't know he's 83. He thinks he's 12.
You still have access to weapons?
I want to say those fighting words for everyone within the sound of my voice.
Yes, Chuck.
To hear and to heed. And especially for you, Mr. Gore.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
From my cold, dead hands.
That's our boy. That's Chuck. He's the best.
Could not make it. Couldn't make one movie if he was an actor today.
No.
If you ever watch any of his performances, he is so overblown, so overacting. There's no way anybody would cast him in anything anymore.
Although, Ten Commandments, I think he's well-suited for that role.
Let my people go!
It's all the same
it's all
thing.
He does. He's a very intense actor, that Charlton Heston. Susan Sarandon, 60 years old today. Here's the proof there's nothing to birth dates in astrology. When you have Charlton Heston and Susan Sarandon born on the same day, pretty much diametrically opposed on the political wheel.
In every way.
Yeah. Armand Asante is 57 years old today. Yeah. Russell Simmons, co-founder of Def Jam, is 49. Liev Schreiber, one of my favorite actors. Did you see his stint on CSI when he took over for Grissom for a while?
No, I didn't.
Boy, was he good on that show. 39 years old today.
Is he the one that's married to or has a child with Naomi Watts? Is that him?
That's him.
Okay.
Alicia Silverstone turns 30. You can see her semi-nude in her new PETA commercial, which is online.
Kevin, have you looked at the pictures yet?
I have.
And?
She looks pretty good, doesn't she?
For her, yeah. I mean, but you compare it. And by the way, teeth. She opens her mouth, it all goes downhill.
What's wrong with her teeth?
And then she's got her over the lips,
half
her mouth
have
is like
a stroke. Yeah, stroke she talks like she has a stroke.
Mouth. They were smart enough just to keep it closed.
Stroke mouth. Didn't they do that song, Hey Now You're an All-Star? Wasn't that them? I love that one.
But she's certainly hot enough to get a bell, though, Kevin. Come on.
She's one of those people like that's the best she ever has or will look.
You know who can settle this argument? You know who can settle this argument?
Oh.
Actor, director, writer Kevin Smith. We'll ask him when he comes in.
Let's defer to him, then.
His word will be final. How about that?
I am willing to agree with whatever Mr. Smith rules on this one.
All right. And Rachel Lee Cook, who I think we all can agree on.
Yes.
Who is diabolically hot and talented. She is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So we talked to our pal, director, writer, author, Kevin Smith, on the phone last week, just ahead of his Letterman appearance. And he said, guys, I got an event coming up at the comic book shop next week. I want to come in. I want to come in and hang out with you dudes. I miss you guys.
Yeah.
I want to see you guys. And we're like, yeah, Kevin, come on in. It'd be fun. We like that.
Too big a star now.
What?
That's what
apparently
it is.
Apparently so. Hey, Mr. Smith, what's going on?
It's not too big a star, sir. It's too big a lower intestine full of material that just wants to come out.
All right, good.
How much I love to be in there, and you know how tough it is to get me out, but I'm riding the bull all morning.
Well, we're glad that you're doing that there and not here then.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Unless you guys were willing to bring a pot in, I could have sat there for three segments.
No thanks.
Dude, astronaut diapers, what's wrong with you?
When I say sit there, I mean literally sit there.
But Kevin, with the way you eat, how can there be anything that your stomach rejects at this point?
This is what I did yesterday. I took the wife. The wife's always complaining we don't do anything romantic, so I took her to a tea room.
Yeah.
There's a tea room called, I think it's Paddington's. It's over on, Robertson.
Okay.
Where you sit down, you have, a British high tea.
Right.
Totally misleading title.
Uh-huh.
And they serve you little finger sandwiches.
Right.
And, they're so little. I was just like, I'm gonna eat 20.
Uh-huh. Make it a meal.
Yeah, and it was a lot of little egg salad sandwiches, and I don't think that mayonnaise agreed with me. That and all the tea as well.
Yeah.
So you are actually on the toilet right now as
mercifully,
you speak with us.
Yes, mercifully I have a phone in the bathroom, sir. So if you hear any weird, bizarre noises.
Yeah, would you mind covering up
I'll cover. I'll duck and cover.
Thanks.
Hey, what about Letterman? I saw your performance last week. It was very, very funny, but I got the impression that Dave had no idea who you were.
Yeah, I got that too. When I was doing you do pre-interviews for that kind of thing.
Right.
They don't do that on the radio, but on TV they want to know what you're going to talk about.
Right.
They were setting me up with a lot of Clerks era material, and the guy's going well, this is your first time on the show, so our audience may not know you. And I'm like, is it the same audience every night? you know, and they've been there for many years, and they're not paying attention.
Because so, you have had a few movies out there.
Yeah, I've one or two.
Yeah. But isn't Dave's shtick, isn't his shtick that he doesn't really know about anything? I mean, that's usually how he comes across.
Totally, unless you're a girl, and then he knows everything about
everything.
It.
Yes, everything. But correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, he wasn't pretending. He really was, so who are you and what are you all about?
He definitely seemed pretty perplexed.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was a very, very funny appearance, by the way. I think you did a great job.
I was kind of happy with it. You know, what was weird is they kind of sit there and prep you for telling people who you are, and then like I mentioned Clerks, and the whole audience applauded. I'm like, I think they might know.
Yeah. And the one of the reasons you were on, you had two things you were promoting. One was the book that we're going to talk about in a minute, but the other one, and you came on our show to talk about The Reaper that you had directed, the debut of the new show The Reaper on the CW last week, and you guaranteed, if I recall, money back guarantee to our listeners that it would be funny. We haven't heard a single complaint from people who tuned in. Apparently, they agree with you.
I never made that claim.
No. We made that claim for you after
for
you were
me?
Gone.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys are true friends. Sure. Yeah, it worked out. It's a good show.
I liked it. Yeah.
Speaking of good shows, did anybody watch Pushing Daisies last night? I know I'm not supposed to hype another TV show.
I did watch part of it, and I liked it.
Oh my God, I loved it so much.
The part I saw, I liked a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty tremendous.
And what about Dirty Sexy Money? Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, sir. A title like that is too foul for my virgin.
That's sure, right. Yeah, for you.
Now, Lisa is recommending Carpoolers, Kevin.
Oh,
I don't know if you've heard about that.
I think you might be the only one, Lisa.
I clearly am, but I thought it was funny.
Kevin, what's your take on Bionic Woman? Have you caught that yet?
I did. I watched it. I liked it. I was very glad that they named her Jamie Summers, that it wasn't just some random, like they took the name from the old show.
Right.
I was kind of into it, but I mean, I prefer the old running as opposed to the new fast running.
Like
back in the day, the slow-mo really communicated speed for some backwards reason. Mm-hmm. And this one just looked like it, sped up film.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Why not the noise, though? I miss the noise.
I miss it. You stick on the phone with me a few more minutes, you're going to hear some noise. It ain't quite like that.
Kevin's got a bionic sphincter right now.
Give us about a 40-second heads up, and we'll take a break and come back.
Oh, totally.
All right. This is Kevin Smith on the toilet on the phone. His new book is in stores now called My Boring Ass Life, The Uncomfortably Candid Diary of Kevin Smith. And if I understand correctly from what I've heard you say about this, Kevin, an author has never been less involved in writing a book than you were in this one.
Yeah, I mean, usually one has the intent to write a book, and I was just writing a blog, and somebody, Titan, people at publisher, that called me up, said, there's a lot of material here for a book. You want to turn it into a book? And I was like, do I have to do anything? They said, no, and I said, it's a book.
I'd like to see that dedication to one's craft.
Yeah, I have a level of commitment unseen in most authors. That's why I fully expect to win a Pulitzer. And right now, I stress the term pew.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everything that's in the book has already been on the blog, so there's no new bombshells that you were holding out for the book.
There's untrue. There's a new intro, but even better, at the end of the book, there's a 20-page piece about working on Die Hard, which is actually pretty funny.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Speaking of the internet,
the warlock.
Speaking of the internet, Kevin, and blogs and stuff, your fans are probably, in terms of a fan base that is just so internet insane. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Kevin.
Back up, Kevin. Come on.
For God's sakes, dude.
Mine sound way more manly than that. That sounded more like Lisa than me.
Okay, it might have been. Sorry, Ralph. Back to you.
You've created quite a stir with the casting for Zach and Miri, your new, your upcoming film. Everyone is dying to know who's going to be in this film. Are you going to give us any details
they
of what's happening?
They just have to hold on a little longer.
Come on.
You're
making people nuts.
Too early to say, man. Because for a while I was going like, hey, Rosario's going to be in. Then Rosario took another job.
Yeah.
So I have learned my lesson. I'm not saying peep until I see a signed contract in front of me. But it's looking really good for us.
All right, I'll do it. Jeez, Kevin. Wow.
There it is. You heard it here first.
All right.
I was listening before. Was there a question about the hotness of Alicia Silverstone?
Yes.
Somebody wants
yes.
Yeah, we
yes.
did want you to say that.
I think still hot, man.
Still hot?
Really? Totally. I saw her in...
Even though she has the stroke mouth?
Yeah, the stroke mouth is kind of hot, I think.
Wow.
I saw her on stage at the, what's that theater in Westwood, the Geffen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw her in two Mammoth plays over the course of the last year, and she looked really good.
Can she act, Kevin?
Yeah, totally. She was Boston Marriage, and then she was also in Speed the Plow. She was really good.
Mammoth's hard to pull off, too. That's no slouch.
She's right more than making up for playing Batgirl and Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
way, that was rough. Where's the Kevin Smith that we used to hang out with? Not the one who's going to Mammoth Plays at the Geffen and High Tea on Robertson. What the hell has happened to you?
I'm trying to get a bit of refinement.
What happened to
And look how I'm paying for it.
What happened to going to Vegas and playing poker online in your room? What happened to that guy?
Where's that guy?
I'm that guy when nobody's looking.
There's weed and hockey. That's what I want to know.
All right. Let's say you recover. Let's say you don't have the brain-eating amoeba and you actually live through whatever's going on with you right now. Are you going to be at Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash on Saturday signing the book?
Naturally, sir. Of course I will be there. We're doing a big book signing. It's also, I think, the last day of Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash West. We're closing the store.
What?
Oh, no kidding. What?
Yeah, my friend runs it. My friend doesn't want to run it anymore, and I'm too scared to turn it over to a stranger, so we're shutting the place.
You don't have one other friend that could run it?
And all my friends have jobs already. I employ everyone. Yeah. So, and this is a tough town to find like a manager in, because mostly everybody sees the job as a stepping stone to something else. Sure. Like, they'll take a job at the store, but they're like, I really want to be the lead in your next movie. And it's like, what? So
they'll show you like a script every time you walk in.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Well, that's a shame, because that's really one of the great comic book stores in Los Angeles.
Thank you, sir. But there's still always, a Golden Apple and Amiibo to go to.
Yeah, but your place had a great vibe to it, and it's a shame in that neighborhood they won't be around anymore.
I will miss it as well.
How long did you run it, Kevin?
We had the store, it's 3 years. 3 years and change by the time we close.
And what are you going to do with all your inventory? You have
to
sell
off?
All
that stuff goes back to the East Coast Stash, which still
is in New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's good news, bad news. The bad news is it's closing down. Yeah. The good news is you can come by for one last hurrah and meet Kevin there, signing copies of the book. That's from noon until 6.
And buy some cheap stuff too. We're gonna sell off a lot of stuff.
Everything's gotta go.
Sales that day.
Everything's gotta go. It's a fire sale.
It's gotta go.
That's another legendary Kevin Smith in store. By the way, noon to 6. Most authors, they show up from like 12:30 to 1:15. He's gonna be there from noon to 6, signing copies of the book. That's awesome.
And we have to get on normally. You know, we post something like noon to 6, and then we wind up going many more hours over that. Wow. But this time it's a hard out because we have a poker game in the store at 7 o'clock it begins.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I'll be there.
So everybody's got to get their books and leave.
Actually, it's not noon to 6. It's noon to 12:02 and then 12:04 to 12:06, depending on how you feel.
Totally. Yeah. You might be lining a queuing up in front of the bathroom door the way I feel right now.
Sliding stuff under the door and it comes back out.
Totally.
That'll be cute.
I don't put on airs, sir. I'll leave the bathroom door open.
Good for you.
Oh, that's a pretty visual right there. ViewAskew.com is the site. The book is available everywhere, called My Boring Ass Life, The Uncomfortably Candid Diary of Kevin Smith. So this didn't work out the way we planned, but it was still very entertaining. And, of course, you're welcome to come in when you feel better, Kevin. We'd love to see you.
I appreciate it, sir. I appreciate it. Next time I'm there, you won't be able to get me out.
Okay, good. All right. We're going to let you go now, just in case.
Right on, guys.
Feel better.
Thanks, man.
Bye now. It's a very difficult time because there's so many new TV shows coming on. You want to watch the good ones and let the bad ones go.
Sure.
Well, that's what Bean and I want. Lisa wants to watch all of them, including the bad ones.
I want to taste them all, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's my goal right now, is to watch every new show once.
But don't you do a spit take on Cartpoolers? Don't you go...
Well, I
understand wanting to at least try it, but what I don't understand is tuning in, it being bad, and then liking it. That's the part that's confusing me.
Last night, I sat down to watch some TV after dinner.
Right.
I was kind of tired, and I knew I was going to stay up really late, and I looked at what I had on my TiVo.
Right.
And they were all one-hour-long shows.
Right.
Except for Carpoolers.
So you chose only by the length?
No, I just, last night, I was kind of tired. I didn't really want to watch a one-hour drama, and I thought, it's a half-hour sitcom. I don't really have any of those anymore, except for The Office. So let's see what that's like. So I turned it on, and I was pleasantly surprised at how delightful it was. I enjoyed it very much. I laughed out loud, and I thought, this is going to be a great show to watch every week. I'm so happy that this is on.
Did you watch Caveman 2, which was on right before it on ABC?
I didn't, because
they've already come out with a Caveman 2?
No, Caveman also. Oh. It was a show that was on before Carpoolers. That was a half-hour show, Lisa.
Yeah, I know. I just had heard such bad things in the commercials and,
So, you hadn't heard bad things about Carpoolers, so you didn't know.
And I like Jerry O'Connell very much. I think he's a good actor.
Let me see if I can get my head around the concept. They're in a carpool?
There's four guys who have nothing in common except that they carpool every day. And then their lives slowly start to entwine. You find out about who they are and what's going on in their lives, and They have an impact on each other.
I'm sorry, I lost you. What were you saying? All right.
And we for one guy, it's the only quiet time he has in his life. He loves the 45 minutes that he gets to carpool.
How is that a TV show?
I watched it. It is a TV show.
I'm going to play some clips.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now. Check-out time is never.
It does sound like the kind of show that would be on in hell. All right, if you saw the carpoolers last night, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. But, Lisa, we really didn't get a sense because we didn't watch the show of what it was all about. So we asked Omar to pull some audio from the show.
Okay.
Now, I know it's not the same as seeing it, but it'll give us an idea at least of what some of the jokes are like.
Okay.
All right, tell us about this one.
They look delicious, but I'm sorry, there's no eating in the car. It's kind of a rule.
Oh, no biggie.
There's no coffee either. Laird really scalded himself one time.
No coffee's no cooking.
Oh, okay. Here. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Love you.
Love you too.
Not you. I like you.
Yeah,
bye.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That made me giggle. When she said love you, and then the guy who's driving the car says love you too, and then but he doesn't even know her because he just met her then. And she goes, well, I like you, but I love you. That was kind of funny. So this guy that's getting in the car.
Wait a minute. We just heard the same clip, and it's not...
It was kind of cute. The guy that's getting in the car is new to the carpoolers. There were only three, and now they're going to be four. They voted on whether he could get in or not, and his wife baked cookies and brought coffee for everyone. And then,
they find out
that you can't eat or drink in the car.
If this isn't hell, friend, then where are we?
Someone was scalded. So
okay. So then, apparently, there's rules for the carpool.
Yes.
And this guy did not understand that.
Hey, you want to see a picture of the baby?
No.
And why not?
Because then I'd have to ask your kids' names and ages, which means I'd have to memorize your kids' names and ages. Come on. This is your first day in the car, and he's already whipping out the family photos?
Too much too soon.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jerry O'Connell's the cool one, and he's the one this guy was trying to show his baby pictures to. And clearly, Jerry's the one who's going to throw you out of the carpool if you don't pass muster. So
clearly.
He's just, you know, well, he's just no laying down the
that.
Rules right
oh,
now.
Oh, they're in a carpool together.
Right.
Oh, I didn't even get that part.
See,
okay,
they
so they're
in
all
the car,
in a carpool.
And then they drive down a freeway that's jammed. Nobody's moving except for them. They just fly right up the carpool lane.
Oh.
Just fly.
Oh,
wait a minute.
And I have to say
but hold on. That's part of the comedy?
Yeah, it's funny watching them zoom up the carpool lane. And the thing is, maybe funnier to me because I am a traffic reporter and a professional.
No,
so
I kind of
get the whole carpool
lane.
Oh,
yeah. We don't understand the strange carpool lane ways.
I don't think
we've
you
never
do.
Been on a freeway. All right. Let's not put all the burden on Lisa May to defend carpoolers. It's clearly not her job. Let's get her some backup with Sam. He's on line 3 calling us from Sam Valley because Sam is going to, I think Sam's going to be some support for you here. Hey, Sam, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock talking about carpoolers. Go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Sam.
This is Santa Monica!
Yeah!
Why does that crack us up so much?
Come on, go to the calls. You don't want to go because they're all supporting
Let's
me.
Let's go to Melissa.
Go to them.
Let's go to Melissa.
All right.
Melissa in Diamond Bar. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well,
good.
Okay.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Lisa. You're so hot.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, but
I totally agree with you, hon. Like, I used to drive every day an hour to work, and I had no carpool. So I want a carpool now after watching the show. Like, they're all singing and bonding and crying on the phone. Like,
are
the
you
radio.
People retarded?
It looks,
God,
it's
so
funny.
Cool. And, you know, I'm not a big TV person at all, and like 30 minutes is all I could stand, and that was a little too short. I wanted it a little longer, believe it or not.
It was a perfect little nugget of a show.
You're telling me you have no time for TV, yet you're making time out of all the shows that are on, out of 168 hours per channel that is available to you. You've chosen carpoolers.
You know, it's funny, and Jerry O'Connell is kind of hot.
He is hot.
Yeah, it makes a big difference for me to watch it.
Okay.
We haven't even talked about the sun yet. Sun
Melissa's
so
clearly
funny.
Coming on to Lisa, and that's why she's sucking out by saying she liked the show. But we'll count that as a vote for her rather than a vote again.
Okay. I'm going to play another clip, and you can help us understand.
Wouldn't you kind of like to find out how much money Lila makes?
Yeah. For argument's sake, yes, I would actually kind of like to know that.
That's all I needed to hear. I'm on it.
How are you going to find that out?
Grayson, I'm a dentist. I can move in any circle. I'm a healer, like a doctor. I wield the power of a cop, yet I'm a friend of the worker, respected.
You're a dentist.
Yes, I am. And that's very lucky for you.
Well, see, okay. Jerry O'Connell's just full of himself, and he thinks
can
he
you
is
defend,
the
Can you defend that, though, Lisa?
But he's just a dentist. But he thinks he can do anything. But then he does come up with the salary of the other guy's wife. So he actually can do pretty much anything. But he's just a dentist. It's inexplicable.
All right, here's another clip.
Guess what I'm going to do with all the money that I'm making? I'm going to buy the world's oldest Rubik's Cube. I saw it on the internet. And then I'm going to hire somebody to solve it for me.
Why would you ever spend your money that way?
Dad, I'm young. I'm not going to spend all my time trying to solve some dusty Rubik's Cube.
This is the son of one of the guys who is really funny. He only walks around in his underwear and like a t-shirt. And he gets an online interview. So he borrows a tie and a shirt from his dad. And he parts his hair down the side. And he kind of talks in a strange accent for the interview. But he gets hired.
Lisa,
and then he jumps up and he knocks at the camera.
They're doing red hot Rubik's Cube comedy.
And the worst part is now he's making more money than his dad. And he's kind of an idiot, but
guys, I didn't want to do this, and I'm sorry that we have to do this, but
yeah,
I'm sorry. I love you. I love you so much, but we can't do this anymore.
What about the other phone calls? In
we don't have time. We're out of time, baby. I'm sorry.
Well, there are a few in support, but there are also some that had to say that it was brutal. Respect for Lisa has dropped.
Yeah. Sure.
It sucked. The plot was boring.
It was horrible.
But then it was funny.
Day and night she talks. Each word more useless than the next.
44.
See, the thing
Lisa,
is,
how's it going down there?
And what? Carpooling. They don't really know each other.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you, Lisa. You're in the basement. We can't.
In the car.
Can't hear you. If we let you out of the basement, will you stop talking about carpoolers?
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
Come on out, Lisa. But ixnay on the Arpooler K. Would you do that for us?
Okay.
All right. Yesterday on the Showbiz Beat, Ralph announced a birthday that surprised me a little bit. Tommy Lee, 45 years old, you guys.
Wow.
Still acts like he's 19. He's 45 years old, celebrated his birthday yesterday. We haven't checked in with Tom in a while, so we've got him on the line here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Tommy.
Yeah, totally.
how was your birthday, dude?
Oh, it's bananas. I rode my Harley, doing to the rainbow. I ripped, shredded, drank, got so wasted, party.
Right.
Then my friends got me a cake. Totally. It was bananas. There was candles, and I blew them out. Like, I ripped the candles, got shredded. I was like...
This is what I'm saying. This is why we find it hard to believe that you're practically middle-aged.
Yeah. What?
Now, Tommy, there's been a lot of things in the news lately, and why don't we start with, I know we talked to you very briefly right after it happened, but what's going on with the feud between you and Kid Rock? I know you guys exchanged, at least some shoving went on at the MTV Video Music Awards. What's the status of that fight now?
Totally. It's like, you know, Kid Pebble... if he wants to raise his status as a musician, rip or shred up on me, you know, I'm not going to lower myself to his level, you know? Because when I think about life, I got, like, my mantra, you know? And it's like, go for it.
That's your mantra?
Yeah, because I'm turbo diesel ripping, shredding, going way quick in the fast lane, you know? And I'm like ripping, shredding, nah, bro, it's bananas in the fast lane, it's how I'm living. And he's all the way in the far right lane going super slow.
I don't even follow this at all.
What?
But you say you're in the carpool lane?
No, oh, man, it's like I'll drive in the carpool lane, but it'll only be me in the car because I don't care. I rip. I shred.
Yeah, you do rip.
And the whole time, you know, I'll have girls blaring. I'll be ripping.
Right. You listen to Motley Crue, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of going fast, living life fast.
You know
your ex-wife Pam Anderson. You know she's dating this scumbag, this Rick Solomon dude, right? You heard about that?
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Okay. Well, he now is claiming, because he's just a big mouth, he's now claiming that you, Tommy Lee, failed to satisfy Pam Anderson in the years that you were together, despite how much fun it looked to us like you were having in the video.
Oh, that's bananas. Listen, years ago, man, I came out with that video with Pam, you know, and I'm like, hey, lover, I love you.
Right.
Bananas.
Right, we know, we saw it.
And I was banging her, and she loved it. I wrecked her. And then I drove a boat with my wiener.
And,
you know, like, years later, you know, stupid Rick Solomon, he comes out with a video, and it didn't rip or shred. And there wasn't even Pam in it. It was with Paris Hilton, you know, and, like, mine was better because I'm ripping and shredding, living in the fast lane. You know what I'm saying?
Never,
like, I'm going to... I'm going to, like, die young, but I'll die beautiful. Oh, too young to fall in love. Yeah.
Now, Rick says at least Paris looked like she was having fun with me in the tape.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
So that's not a big deal to you.
No, because, right. I mean, I can take a girl like Paris Hilton. She doesn't rip or shred. Bam's rock and roll. It takes a real man, you know?
Sure.
Who's like turbojet diesel fuel ripping and shredding to deal with her.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I gotcha. Bananas.
Right. We have a wager here in the studio as to whether you can give us the first names of both of your children with Pam Anderson, Tommy. Do you know what those are? What
did you say?
What are the names of your two kids that you had with your wife, Pam Anderson?
Oh, I don't get it. Oh, all right.
It's not a joke. It's just the names.
You guys are playing a joke.
No,
on
no,
me.
No. No. I was just curious if you remembered, because it seems like you've been doing an awful lot of partying lately and haven't seen so much of you at home.
Lately, I've been shredding it up. It's like Jack Daniels, Gibson guitars in the fast lane.
Right.
Go for it. Bananas.
What about the rumor that Pamela is pregnant again with another kid?
No way.
Have you heard that rumor?
Yeah.
That's one of the rumors that they're saying is why she wants to get married to this Rick Solomon dude.
That'd be bananas, man, but no.
I don't know what that means. Here on your home for soft rock favorites, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away. How would you like to be amongst the first people to see the new Mark Wahlberg movie, We Own the Night?
Oh, yes, good. Please.
No, you can't go.
Huh. Oh.
It's just for K-Rock listeners.
How does Dave pronounce that one? What's he call that one?
We Own the Night.
We Own the Night.
We Own the Night.
We Own the Night.
Hey, Rob, you're going to do We Own Night now? What? We Own Night. We Own
His English is getting worse.
We Ho Nights? Isn't that a movie that Mike Psycho Mike was in?
Yeah. It cracks us up, though, because he doesn't speak Spanish, Dave.
Right. Nor does he speak English.
But he's got such a heavy accent. It cracks us up.
We don't know what he's really speaking over there. I'm going to go smoke some dop.
He said that yesterday. We said, do you mean dope? He said, yes. Maybe you've smoked too much dop today.
Yeah, put the dop down.
You're a big dop yourself.
This We Own the Night, though, how great does this look?
It looks very reminiscent to me of The Departed, which I enjoyed
absolutely.
Enormously, both starring Mark Wahlberg. This is called We Own the Night, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Wahlberg as brothers. One's an underworld figure, one's a cop. That can't be good at Thanksgiving, right?
No.
Doesn't seem like it, no.
Robert Duvall plays their dad. Eva Mendes also stars.
Oh.
The movie opens October the 12th. However, the special K-Rock screening is Thursday, October the 11th, so you get to see it before anybody else. I've got four packs of tickets to give away, so that means you and three of your friends get to attend. The first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, gets a four-pack of tickets to see the special K-Rock screening of We Own Night.
We Own Night.
We Own Night. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Britney Spears' problems are no secret. However, a source is telling Fox News that the troubled young mom may have a bigger problem than we even realized. According to this source, she has a very severe cocaine addiction.
This is retarded.
I thought her whole thing was, I'm angry at my manager, my mom forcing me into rehab. I didn't need it. That's not my problem. I'm depressed. What about that whole thing?
Well, I did mention yesterday that some friends believe Britney thinks that drugs are the only things that makes her life bearable. So maybe this is one of those drugs.
That was just silly.
According to the Celebrity Exposé, her brother and sister, Jamie and Jamie Lynn Spears, tried another shot at an intervention on Monday after the court verdict took her kids away from her. Not surprisingly, Brittany reportedly wouldn't hear a word of it and told them all to get lost.
Mm. Even losing her kids. I mean, does nothing open her ears?
Britney Spears' countdown continues.
Yeah.
Can you force someone into rehab, or do they have to agree to go?
I think they have to agree if they're overage
think,
or whatever.
You can only force them if there's some sort of legal issue, if some sort of crime has been committed.
Or suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Speaking of Britney, yesterday in a courtroom, Commissioner Gordon said that... I love saying that. Kevin Federline.
Nothing makes Ralph happier because that was the commissioner's name on Batman.
Right.
It's Commissioner Gordon.
Right. How many times do you get to talk about Commissioner Gordon?
Too many.
Me, I talk about him all day, but, I mean, you know, in public.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
It's true, Adam. Britney Spears will get to visit her two sons, but her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, remains main custodian. They will remain in his custody until further notice. Kevin, by the way, was at the hearing to make sure that that stayed the case. Britney, however, was nowhere to be found.
Couldn't be bothered,
not important.
Huh?
Couldn't be bothered to fight
tanning appointment
for her custody rights to have.
Why, Britney? Why?
Another hearing has been scheduled for October the 26th, where the judge will revisit the situation and see if alterations need to be made to the custody arrangement.
You know, take away, you know, supervised visits next. I mean, what else do they have?
I don't know. Take away your puppies. Just take away your drugs. You need to
don't say that.
Drug custody hearing. That's what she needs.
She's a human!
She's a loaded human.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. You take all the fun out with that allegedly stuff, I'll tell you.
Gotta say it, dude.
Eva Longoria's sex tape.
Allegedly.
Doesn't really exist.
Allegedly.
However, in the face of the internet rumors.
Is that what it's called? That's what...
Eva has responded with a pretty funny parody of a sex tape. You can see it currently on funnyordie.com. It co-stars a character named Perry Hilton.
See?
No connection to Paris Hilton, played by Eric Christian Olsen, the actor and comedian. And the two of them are co-starring in a night vision sex tape, similar to the infamous Paris Hilton video, that takes place in 2004, long before she became a star in Desperate Housewives or married to NBA star Tony Parker. It's very entertaining. You should check it out on funnyordie.com, which is Will Ferrell's comedy website.
Mm-hmm. I have a clip from the video if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, sure.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
No, I don't think that's in the video at all. She says, you know, no one's going to see this tape, right? Because someday I might want to marry a big, cute basketball star. He's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. No one will ever see this. Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Has been on her best behavior since checking into the Cirque Lodge rehab facility in Utah, according to friends. And she may be getting out of Hollywood for a bit after she graduates from treatment. Friends of Lindsay's have told Fox News that she's very interested in continuing her education and going to college. They say she's actually looked into a couple schools on the East Coast, and NYU is one of her first choices.
Ralph, let me ask this question. I thought of this earlier, but didn't squeeze it in. Is it because no one will hire her, so now she has to come up with something of what she's going to do when she gets out of rehab? Because it'd be difficult for her to get work as an actress at this point, wouldn't it?
There are people saying that in order to insure her to work in a motion picture, it'll take years of clean living before anyone would take a chance on her with insurance.
So this is a you can't fire me, I quit moment.
Possibly.
It's kind of her also following the steps of people like Jodie Foster and Brooke Shields, who did make the transition from child star to adult star by taking a break and going to college and and kind of getting settled down.
Jodie Foster's pretty smart.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. Bar Raffaelli.
Who's that?
She is Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriend.
Yeah.
The Israeli supermodel for Victoria's Secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's pretty diabolical. She said she is glad she's left Israel. You know why?
No, why?
It's not a fun place.
Well, there's that. But if you're a native Israeli, you have to do mandatory military service.
That's right. What is it, like a couple years or something?
Everybody goes into the military. Yeah. All the young people have to spend some time. And she left Israel before she had to go into the Jewish military.
Expletive Jews.
And she says she thinks she made out pretty well. She says, and I quote, "It's better to live in New York than to die for one's country."
Wow. Uh-oh. That's not going to make her popular back at home.
Listen.
Wow.
I've spent some time in New York. It's a coin flip, really, between the two. That's really one or the other. New York in like August?
Yeah.
Give me an M16 and a helmet and send me into action.
Can you imagine how that would throw the military off, though, with somebody smoking hot like that?
Yeah,
everybody would really chow with her and bunk with her, the whole deal.
I like to chow with her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
There are some people who think
this. Yes.
We do,
we're
yes.
We're not answering and talking like this. Why
there are some people
like this?
Who think the United States should have a policy like this, some sort of mandatory service.
I agree.
I do, too.
Since I'm way too old to go into the service, I think it's an excellent idea. Everybody sign up. And congratulations to actor George Takei. You know him as Sulu, of course, on the famous Star Trek series and in the movies as well. He's also been on Heroes until recently. He just received a singular honor of having an asteroid named after him.
Partey. Did he get a certificate with his name on it as well?
Sulu loves some asteroids.
I
know about Sulu.
He certainly does.
There's an asteroid between Mars and Jupiter that's been renamed 7307 Takei. In honor of the actor.
Okay.
The celestial rock was discovered by two Japanese astronomers in 1994.
Hey! Hey!
It joins 4659 Roddenberry and 68410 Nichols as other people involved with Star Trek who've had asteroids named after them. The name had to be approved by the lame astronomical naming committee. So apparently he passed. I don't know how. But
that's strict.
Congratulations, George. You know, I'd be like, you know what? Keep it. Whatever it was before, just leave it at that. I really don't need an asteroid, though. I appreciate the thought. We have George Takei talking to Psycho Mike on the red carpet. Do we have a little taste of that?
If by talking to you mean trying to pick up, yes, we do.
You know, you really should be on television. You're a dashing-looking guy.
Really?
Yeah, matinee idol profile.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, so people should see you as well as hear you.
Yeah. Mike's never been happier.
What happened to Sulu? He was fine.
Yeah.
Up until when he came out. Then all of a sudden, he got way gay.
Seriously.
He's like, Captain, on the screen, the Klingons are coming. Then he came out close, like, oh, yeah, you're to be seen and heard and dashing matinee profile.
It was all bottled up all those years, Ralph.
Just mincing down the red carpet. He was before 1979. I was like, yes, I'm looking forward to doing the next Star Trek movie. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, look at you and your shirt on. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. The hell happened?
That's a good question.
Oh. I don't know.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rachel Lee Cook. Actress is 27 years old today. Alicia Silverstone turns 30. We got it. Got to give her the bell.
Kevin Smith
has passed judgment. She's attractive.
Kevin Smith has ruled.
Liev Schreiber is 39 years old today.
Let's use Kevin Smith as a barometer. Anytime we have a question in dispute, we should just go to Kevin, whatever he says.
About anything? Our new segment, ask Kevin Smith. We just have to get him to say, just call him up and he'll say, what do you think? No. Click, and he'll just hang up, and that'll
be
the
done.
Answer.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to ask him what happened to George Takei.
That's true. When did he get so femmy? Russell Simmons, Def Jam's co-founder, is 49. Armando Sante.
Oh, mira, so sexy.
Is 57 years old today. You know, I co-starred with Armand in Two for the Money. He was in that movie with
really
me.
Really co-star?
That's well, how you know, say it. He was in the movie. I was in the credits. So we had that in common. We were both in the credits.
Yes.
He's 49. He's 57 years old today. Susan Sarandon is 60. Anne Rice, legendary author of Interview with a Vampire and other Lestat books. She is 65. And Charlton Heston.
Yes.
One of our favorites around here. He's 83 years old today. His hair? Is two, oddly enough. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you something about the band Radiohead. They pretty much do things their own way.
Yes, they do.
That's the reputation they have cultivated, and now they're really proving it one more time by saying they're going to give away their new album In Rainbows, if you can even call it an album, their new collection of songs In Rainbows, starting next Tuesday on their website. We thought something seems weird about this. We got to find out what the deal is. So we asked producer Lightning to line up the man who wrote the article in the LA Times earlier this week, co-wrote it, Jeff Boucher, on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Chunk Hero. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know the suits at the record companies are going to be following with a great deal of interest what happens with Radiohead. What's your take on what it is they're trying to do here?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely sort of a real signature moment for the music industry. Everybody's going to be watching it. There's never been a band this big, this important, that did it in this way. But those suits are going to have a hard time keeping track of what happens because Radiohead doesn't really have to tell anybody how many albums they sell, how much money they make, or any of that stuff. So,
true.
Oh, I see. So will there even be an accurate count? Will we have any idea?
That's hard to say. It's up to the band, you know, and they're not really talking too much at this point, which I think is smart. I think, you know, the less they say, the bigger this moment will come off at this point. But, you know, it's not going to be chart eligible. There's no UPC code. There's no, it's not through a retailer, you know, so it won't show up on the SoundScan charts unless they put it out as an album next year, a traditional CD, which they said they want to do.
Have we been, have we been sort of heading for this ever since Napster?
Well, you would think, I mean, but there's some kind of interesting subplots to it. I mean, this works great if, you know, you can sell out Coachella and you've had six albums and everybody knows your name and the critics love you and the fans love you. And, you know, you can do this, but if you're just an up and coming band or you're a pop act or, you know, this doesn't work. So it's a bold new world for some people.
What do you suppose, and I know I'm just asking you to speculate here, but you're a guy who's followed Radiohead for a long time, as have we. What do you suppose is the reason that they're doing it? Is part of it just to kind of give the finger to the record industry that they seem to despise so much? Is part of it just to form a more of a bond with their fans? Where are they coming from, do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and I think you're exactly right on some of those. I think those are some of them. And I think also, you know, this is a band that's never sort of wore success very comfortably. I think that, you know, Tom has often said how uneasy he is with this whole notion of being a, you know, a pop culture figure,
right,
and having all these things that go with that. So, and then also, you know, I think that this is a way to put the music in front of the process instead of making the process behind the music. You know, they, and I, you know, I love that they didn't make it advanced copies available for journalists. There's no promotional copies, and a lot of the music critics are up in arms, like, how come I don't get to hear it first? Like, you know, which is fantastic. So it really puts there's never been fewer people standing between a band and its fans.
Now, and it's so funny, as you're talking, I was thinking about how much some of the guys in the band hate doing press, hate doing the promotion. And when you have a record company, that's kind of, it's just like working, you know, making a film or anything else. You have a responsibility to go out there and promote it. If they're releasing this album for free on their own website, they don't have to do one interview ever to talk about it if they don't want to.
Especially on your show on April 1st.
Well, that has happened. Now, a band like Radiohead, you mentioned, makes a ton of dough from touring. They can sell out every seat in the world for as long as they want, it seems like. That doesn't apply to other people. But is the money that they make from CDs just so negligible that they can afford to give it up?
No, it's not negligible at all. But, I mean, you know, I think they're going to make a lot of money. You know, the old... every previous Radiohead album that's out now collectively sells about 300,000 copies a year in the United States.
No kidding, still.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, they have great shelf life. So if they release this album next year as a traditional CD and you go to Best Buy, I mean, it's going to sell. They'll make some money off that. You're going to have a lot of fans who have, you know, they have a relationship with this band. It's a relationship band, just like the Grateful Dead had, just like, you know, U2 has, just like Metallica has. They're not going to, a lot of these fans won't stiff the band. They'll be proud to pay.
Yeah, they you know, we have kind of said that they're giving it away for free. They are asking you to pay what you want, what you think you want to pay for it.
That's right. And then there's this very deluxe version, which cost £40, which is about $82. And I think a lot of people are going to buy it. You know, it's really lovely. It's kind of got a lavish package, slipcover, hardcover book.
I'm sorry, was your first term lovely?
Well, I'm sorry. I haven't had my coffee. You're right.
Okay. You mean your tea?
Just checking.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I got a little British on it. Let me bring it back.
All right,
let me
good.
Bring it back. It kicks butt.
Okay, there you go.
And it's a very nice package. So, and I think a lot of people will buy it.
Is there going to come a time, Jeff, do you think, in our in the immediate future, say the next 25 years, where record companies will cease to exist because there will be no need for them because we'll just be tearing down all the barriers between the artists and their fans?
Well, I think the traditional idea in our heads of what a record company, I don't think that's going to really be around. So I think you'll see the scale of economics really reduce. But the main thing is you'll see, I think what we call management companies now will become more like record labels, and I think record labels will become more like management companies. Young bands that sign now with what we call the major labels, they're having to give up stuff they never had to give up before about, you know, touring money and merchandise and stuff like that. So those labels are becoming more like managers, and managers like the firm and stuff are becoming more like record labels. So, I mean, the thing is, with all the music that's going to be out there, and if all the music in the world is available to you and it's easy to get to, it's also hard to know what to listen to.
Yeah, you
know,
exactly.
So you need someone that's going to help you with marketing. You need someone that has access to people that are tastemakers, and you need people that can, you know, handle your business affairs and also line up money to make videos if that's what you want to do, or, you know, arrange tours. So all the apparatus is changing, but I don't think you'll ever have anybody be a really major star without something behind them that resembles a record label or a management company.
That is a really excellent point about there's an awful lot of help to get some of these artists in front of people to even hear it, to even find out, because otherwise, yeah, everybody in the world's got a website with a song on it. How do you even know where to start? I mean, you almost need somebody to kind of have pre-selected it so you have an idea of where to even begin to skim the surface of what's out there. That's a real good point, Jeff.
Yeah, well, it's sort of like I have the phone book. you know, it's like everybody gets in, but, you know, no one sits and reads it. So, you know.
Right, exactly. So what should we be looking for at the as next week comes and goes? I mean, there's probably not going to be sales figures. Is there going to be any kind of a dynamic change? Will there be a next step, or is this just something that we'll look back on one day and go, yeah, that's kind of where that started?
You know, I don't have a clue. It's a really interesting thing, and a lot of people are really, really closely watching this. I talked to Kelly Curtis, who I'm sure you guys know,
sure.
Pearl Jam's manager, nice guy.
Sure.
And they're beside themselves watching this. They think this is like a tipping point moment. But they see a lot of problems in this, too. For one thing, if you go on that site, I don't know about you guys, I haven't been able to buy it yet because it keeps spooling because I think there's so many people going to the site. So there's an issue of access for fans.
Right.
There's also, he points out, an issue of fairness. He goes, well, what about your fans in Eastern Europe or South America that really don't have access to DSL, maybe? Or, you know, can't get this thing, and when you tour there, they don't know the new songs, and they feel kind of left out. He talked about, say, you know, this is very exciting, but, you know, how equitable is it treating the fans like they're part of the connection to the band, you know, treating all the fans the same?
But it's fairer than having to pay $17.99. I mean,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like those people that are poor that don't have that wouldn't have it either.
No, that's exactly right. So, but he was wondering if there's maybe a hybrid, something you can do that's a combination of all these things, the tip jar theory. You know, everything's in play. You know, I mean, but it's good that they're worrying about issues of fairness.
That's what they're going to do. They're going to put an empty guitar case on the front of the stage, and you just have to walk up at a show and put whatever you got in your change in your pocket in there.
It's a brand new technology.
I like it.
The album is called In Rainbows, and it will be available at the Radiohead website on Tuesday. We've been talking to Jeff Boucher with the Los Angeles Times, who wrote the piece, which you can still find on LATimes.com if you want to check out the whole article. Jeff, thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
Hey, Sandy Johnson from Walnut is going to see that band right there, the Paramore, at the Wiltern on November the 14th. Tickets go on sale this week. You can get all the details at KRock.com. Sandy is also eligible for the drawing Nicole will do tonight to send her to Franklin, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Nashville, Paramore's hometown, to see the band at around Thanksgiving. So we got another chance for you coming up on the Cat Corbett Show to qualify for that on the way. And your calls are next for Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Call now to get on the air.
Apparently, the company that owns K-Rock is now in charge of television in China. And the reason I say that is because they've banned, quote, sexually provocative sounds on television, and they've taken off a tremendous amount of commercials because they say it has tantalizing language, in their words.
That'd be like Viagra commercials?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Anything like that. Anything having to do with underwear, like ads for no.
Oh,
pulling those
wow.
right
so
the
no
hell off.
Wonder Bra or no. Victoria's Secret ads over there right now?
No.
Wow.
They say that $246 million worth of advertisements have been pulled since the last couple of months.
No kidding.
In China.
Dude. Well, we got to find out more about this because this sounds like a very disturbing trend that I hope it doesn't come to America. So we asked producer Lightning to line up somebody, and from the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television, let's say hello to Hu Zindang. Hu Zindang on the line. Good morning, Hu.
Hu Zindang.
Hi there.
That's me.
Right. How are
exactly.
you?
Good morning. How you doing, Round Eyes?
We're good.
Well, we're fine, but we're very concerned about this new ban on the TV commercials.
Why?
What's going
Why
on over
concerned?
There?
Why are you concerned? You watch a lot of Chinese television?
Well, no, but I mean,
it's
something like this, if it takes off, gets popular in your country, who's to say it won't spread around the world, and the next thing you know, we won't be able to see stuff like this on our TV.
Well, it should go there, too, because television has gone too far. It is too vulgar. It does not have enough inspiring content. The values, the moral values need to be reinforced on television.
Wow. Wow, did we just sit in a meeting with this long conversation?
Yeah,
no kidding. Now, I understand that what spurred this action this month is that the Communist Party Congress is getting ready to meet, as they do every 5 years there in Beijing, and they're trying to, what, put on a good face to the leaders who are visiting from around the country?
Yes, we don't want to be known as the smutty people. So we're going to have clean television that only support socialist values and good, wholesome entertainment. So all this advertising that is bad is gone. All that programming is gone. All that sexually provocative sounds are gone.
Oh, man. now, what does it mean you've banned sexually provocative sounds? Well, like what?
Well, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and a boy meet a girl And they fall very much in love.
Right.
And they go, oh, I love you. You're so pretty.
Right.
And they go, oh, I love you. You're so manly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go in bed. Let's go to bed now and get naked with no clothes on.
Okay. Right.
And then the naughty bits happen.
Right.
And they
okay.
go, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. That is too provocative.
Is that what it sounds like?
Sometimes.
Okay.
In my house.
So what happens now? What will people see now instead of what the scene is you just described?
We're replacing all the sexually provocative sounds. So you see a man and woman in bed together, and instead of ooh-ah, this is what you hear. Ah, yes. The soothing sounds of church bells.
But doesn't church bells take away a little bit of the heat? I guess that's the idea, right?
No, it's like dong, dong, dong. And that's what's happening.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
All right.
Sometimes if a woman pleasure herself by her own self alone.
Right.
Yes.
Then this is the sound you'll hear.
Well, that's a cow.
Yeah.
Well, that's not sexy.
Ah, it's hot.
It's not hot.
It is. Look at those udders.
Okay.
If a man by himself, pleasure himself solo.
Correct.
In a movie, then you instead of hearing the ugly, ugly, provocative sound, you hear this. He set himself off.
It's like a car alarm.
Did. Take you right out of the seat, wasn't it there?
No, he set himself off.
Wow.
Yeah,
someone
gotcha.
Should call somebody. Get a cop coat come and arrest his testicles.
Now, your name is Huzindong?
Yeah, Huzindong.
Huzindong. Okay, all right. What else you got?
You got two women together sometime in movie.
Right.
Didn't this happen? Yeah.
A machine gun?
Uh-huh.
What does that have to do with...
That's the sound of every man watching.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
Firing off rapidly.
I see. What about advertisements for, you know, breast enhancements? That's apparently out.
Yeah, no, breast enhancements, we're going to show the commercial, but we're changing the language.
Okay.
We're just going to have this sound instead.
I know.
So weird that you have that.
I don't even know what that means.
Where did you get that exactly?
I found it in the garbage.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, when sometimes we have documentaries about sex change operations.
Right.
Like when a woman has sex change, they show the operating room what happened.
Sure.
Too provocative.
Too provocative.
Oh, now, when the operation happens, you just hear this. Why a woman want to change into a man? That's cuckoo.
Yeah.
And even worse, a sex change operation where the man become woman.
Right, right.
When they had to take off all the important parts of his body.
Sure.
Then you just hear this.
Oh yes, Heath Ledger.
What?
Oh.
What does that mean?
It means he's gay.
No, I see. Okay.
Gay like Michael Mike.
Hey!
It's time for your phone call.
Sorry, you must first dial a 0 or a 1. What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. You get on the air. You win a prize today. It's $1 million in cash.
Nope.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I read that wrong.
It's gas for life. Free gas for life.
Nope. No, I apologize. I got the wrong paperwork here. Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights tickets and Psycho Mike Tram Ride is what you get. It's a 4-pack of tickets. Universal Studios. See the Psycho House up close. Jason, Freddy, Leatherface, they're all there. And a special K-Rock Winners Only Tram Ride hosted by our own Psycho Mike. That's the prize because, of course, it is. The Halloween season. So
not
there you go.
Cheering for yourself.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, that is weird.
You get to ride Psycho Mike.
Hey, me! Woo! Me!
You get Leatherface and then Mike, who's known as Splatterface.
Oh!
All right, let's go to David in Huntington Beach. Good morning, David.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, what'd it do?
What'd it do? I just wanted to have you guys seen that new 19-year-old bully for the LA Kings.
I have, yes. What's his name? Bernier.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's starting for them this season. He might be, and I think that he's going to help them win a Stanley Cup one day.
I agree. He's one of those players you could build around. That's true. Kevin, what were you doing when you were 19? This guy is the goalie for the Los Angeles Kings at 19.
I'm still throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
We are very excited about the kickoff of the season. Of course, Kings play, I think, St. Louis on Saturday night. I think that's their big opener. And we have, from the front office and former player who's great, Luke Robitaille, joining us tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour if you want to hear all things hockey tomorrow morning.
All right, let's go to Carlos in Rosemead. Good morning, Carlos.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Carlos?
Hey, I just want to put out a public service announcement to all the guys to make sure that they hide all their porn. Because about, I don't know if you guys heard about that lady in Chicago who found, came home, found the porn stash of her boyfriend when he got home and killed him.
Killed him?
She shot him dead?
Yeah, she was like 54 years old and just came home one day and found the stash and waited for her husband or boyfriend to get home and just shot him and killed him. And then she admitted to it after.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's not about making a mistake. It's admitting that you made a mistake afterwards. Really.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ralph, you're the former host of Sex U on the Kevin and Bean Show back when the show used to be good.
I remember.
Explain to the ladies again that because your man has a porn stash is no reflection on how he feels about you.
Zero. Zero. Zero reflection on his feelings towards you. Look, men fall in lust about 10 times a day, even when we're not looking at porn. It doesn't mean we want to leave you or we want a relationship with anyone else but you. We still love you. It's just the way we're hardwired. We have no control over it. We like to look at this stuff. And
hardwired.
It goes in, it goes into our eyes and out just as quickly. And it's when it's over.
I know where it goes out.
It's over.
Lisa May.
So stop taking it personally.
Okay.
And plus,
we don't want you to look like that. We don't think you're lacking in some way because we look at Penthouse or Playboy or porn movies. It has nothing to do with you.
More importantly,
it's not all about you, is what we're saying for once.
More importantly, don't kill us.
And that.
Yeah, I think that's good advice.
Is women are just all right there on the edge. They're just one thing away from killing us.
Oh, there's no
and
question.
It's always a different thing for different women. You have no idea what's going to set them off. Sometimes it's leaving oatmeal dry overnight in a bowl. Sometimes
really,
it's a porn set. You have no idea.
Josh and Glendale, good morning.
What to do, nephews?
What to do?
You come in, what to do, baby?
Hi, Josh.
What's going on?
Psycho. Oh!
Hey,
oh! I was calling to have a bone to pick with Ralph.
Uh-oh.
How dare he glance over this gem of a movie that's coming out tomorrow?
What did I do? Which one's coming out tomorrow that we're ignoring?
It's called Feel the Noise, produced by Jennifer Lopez, starring Omarion.
Is that the bad Stomp the Yard parody, the dancing one?
I don't know what it is. It's they're just trying to... They're running out of ideas. They're just throwing Latinos in it now.
Yeah.
Omarion plays this character who gets in trouble in wherever he lives, and his mom ships him off to Puerto Rico to live with his half-brother. And they don't call it Puerto Rico. They call it The Rico! Come on!
They call it The Rico?
No, they... But they don't, Josh.
They do! He's sitting there, this is how we do it in The Rico?
The Rico!
How you doing? Go on! If I ever meet Omarion, I will punch him in the neck.
Right in his fat neck.
It sounds like the OC.
This is how we do it in the Rico.
Let's go!
All right, Josh.
Josh.
We're going to hang on to your number next time Ralph's out. We need a guest movie reviewer, okay? Seriously, I like Josh.
I will gladly do it. The Rico, come on!
I'm all about the Rico.
The Rico, really? The Rico.
All right, Josh. I think we got it.
Josh,
the Rico.
You're feeling the noise, quite frankly.
Thank you for the call.
The Rico.
Let's go to Nicole in Upland. She's on line 5. Very disturbing news, if true. I've not yet heard about this. Nicole, what'd it do, niece?
Papa Zao.
Papa Zao.
Did you guys hear that Alicia Keys has this type of illness and, like, last year, I guess, like, she had a stroke, and then she had one, like, during the week, this week.
Alicia Keys?
Yes.
No.
You know, when I saw your call, I went online, and all I could find are articles that say there's a rumor going around that she had a stroke last year.
Oh,
I
see.
You're one of those
rumor mongers. That's what you are.
No, but I heard it, and it's from Media Takeout, and I guess, like
whatever that is.
Yeah, well, Dave found it, so, too. And he laughed at it.
But let me ask you this.
You are the least convicted person ever.
Wow. Didn't we just see Alicia Keys on the MTV Video Music Awards? And didn't she look, besides fat, she didn't look like she'd had a stroke, right?
I didn't think she looked fat.
She just didn't wear flattering clothes.
Well, she wore the worst clothes ever.
Yeah.
Mary Sanders thighs. It was impressive.
Yeah. She did.
And Betty Davis eyes, too.
But I don't think she's had a stroke. If she did, she's clearly recovered from it. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's affected her.
She's got Mary Sanders thighs.
All right, let's go to Eddie and Gardenia. Good morning, Eddie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
All right, so hide the porn. I've got to write that down.
Check down. Yeah, don't go see Feel the Noise.
So there is room for J-Lo or not room for J-Lo?
I think there's no room.
Not in this
particular
break.
There was room until the Rico. at that point, out.
And Alicia Keys is strokey.
Right.
Strokey. And, right. Happy Rocktober.
Thank you.
That's all that out there. All right, guys, just want to let you guys know, over the weekend, I moved finally out from my parents' house.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Into my girlfriend's house or mom's house.
Girlfriend's mom's house?
Well, you really made a step up in your life.
So you moved
actually, it's a duplex, so she has a little small house in the back.
Okay,
so, you
know, sweet.
It's completely separate.
And how's that going?
Not too bad. But while moving on Saturday, I had a couple cocktails or a couple of beers after moving, you know, some of the furniture. When the mom happens to spot the back while I'm out there, you know, moving stuff.
I think I see where this is going.
One thing led to another, and I did more than moving. You know?
No. You did not make a delivery in the mom.
I express delivery, yes.
No, you did not.
Yes, he did.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
You guys buying that?
I believed him right up till then.
I believe him.
You want to believe him.
I want to believe him, too. You nailed your girlfriend's mom as you were moving into their house.
Yeah.
Does your girlfriend know about it?
No, she wasn't home at the time.
Wouldn't be living at the girlfriend's house if she knew about it.
Right.
Yeah. She doesn't know about it, so he wouldn't be saying it on the radio. I'm calling BS on Eddie.
She listens to Power, like most of the city. Don't worry about it. There's no danger of anyone overhearing anything on this show.
I think I'm gonna choose to believe that as well.
I get a good vibe. I think he's telling the truth.
Huh. All right, boys.
Let's go to one more call. Alice in Los Feliz. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there. What's going on?
I actually have a question for you guys, because I'm kind of torn. My boyfriend and I are very in love. We've been dating for a year, and his birthday is coming up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And through our whole relationship, we've actually been pretty adventurous in bed.
Do it. Do
but
it.
The one...
Whatever
no.
you're
you don't
asking,
know what it is yet,
asking,
Ralph. You don't know.
Do
let, her, let her at least say it.
All right.
The one thing that he's always suggested that we do that I've never been okay with us doing is... a threesome?
Do it.
And
hey, sex you guy, you know that if you don't want to do it, it's not going
to
go well, and they're going
to
break up.
She wants to do it. She wouldn't even have brought this idea up, Lisa, if she didn't want to do it.
I think she's just feeling guilted into it.
Alice?
I do. That's exactly what it is. I feel guilty, and I kind of want to make him happy, but at the same time, I don't know what it would do. And, you know, and then the idea crossed my mind, well, if it was like a swinging party or something like that, then he would know that there was other competition out there for me, too. So I don't know. So I'm confused.
Well, your head's in a bad place already if you're thinking about competition and who gets more
right.
and who's keeping score and who has sex with whom.
Yeah.
You're in a bad place.
She's not in the right place for this.
Alice, let me ask this question. Maybe this will define it for us. Does his idea just involve two girls or does it also involve a cup?
Because I know the cup is not a part of that.
Good.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
Do you have any interest in being with a woman at all?
Not really. No.
Well, then don't do it.
Okay. I mean, far be it from us to ever suggest someone not do that. But it depends. I mean, to me, if your boyfriend is that important to you and it bothers you, then don't do it.
Okay.
Well, threesome only really works if there's some interest on the girl's part. Of the couple that she would like to explore being with a woman too. This way, everyone can get involved. But if it's just you two girls trying to please him, inevitably you're going to get jealous about some attention that he's giving her or something during the course of the evening. It's not going to work out.
Okay.
So wish him a happy birthday, but tell him just hand him a magazine and send him into the bathroom.
I'll get him a Playboy subscription.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Alice. I'm glad you leave the important decisions to us. Did you see the threesome on Californication that Dave Duchovny's character's agent tried to get into with his wife and his girl and his secretary?
That went badly.
Did he end up in the emergency room? Oh, my God.
Did you see the one on Mad Men with the head of the advertising agency and the twin models?
No.
Yes. That caused a heart attack?
Yes,
I did.
Badly. Sent him right into the cardiac ward. Yeah. Perfect.
So two threesomes on TV this week, both of them disasters.
Bad
We're not
news.
Saying that's the way it always works out, but definitely keep that in mind. All right, I want to thank our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Kevin Smith, speaking to us live from the toilet this morning. His new book is called My Boring Ass Life, The Uncomfortably Candid Diary of Kevin Smith.
His new CD is called Live from the Toilet.
That was uncomfortably candid. This morning, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the uncomfortable diarrhea of Kevin Smith, I think, not the diary.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Yes, we
see, diary.
We got it.
And then if you add diarrhea,
yep,
we got it.
We got that.
Then you put it, in context with what happened today.
Got that.
Everyone's still laughing.
Nope. Yep.
The book is available everywhere. You can get your copy signed on the very last day of Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, which is at 1045 Westwood Boulevard in Los Angeles. We were shocked to find out that he's closing it down after Saturday.
I might have to quit and just go run it.
It does seem to be right up your alley, doesn't it?
It is one of my dreams, actually, to have a comic book store.
Really?
Anyway, he'll be there starting at noon to sign copies of the book. You can go to viewaskew.com for more on that. And thanks to the great Don King for calling in. I have no idea what he was talking about, but I do know that Showtime Championship Boxing happens this Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Someone named Samuel Peter will be boxing another guy named Jamil McClain, and Don King made it sound like the most important fight of his life. So you got to check that out, too.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have the executive producer of Meerkat Manor. I don't know if you've been following this. Woo!
Huge going out and smoking during this.
It's been a crushing season. Kevin, did you see what happened to Flower?
Whatever with the effing meerkats.
No, did you see what happened to Flower?
I don't care what happened to Flower.
Flower got bit by a cobra and died.
Cobra dominated. Sweet.
It's rough, man. That's a tough show,
you
dude.
Know what? If they had a little show called Cobra Manor, then you'd be rooting for the Cobras because you people are sheep and you'll buy anything they put in front of you. Oh, they're so smart and adorable. They're just rats in the desert. They get eaten by snakes. That's life.
I'm not alone on this, by the way. There are millions of people who follow the exploits of the Meerkat family. Come on.
I've seen the show. It's a good show, but it's the wild, people. Andrew Siciliano tomorrow talking about NFL Sunday Ticket, the Red Zone channel.
It's greatest channel on television on Sundays. You cannot beat it.
It is great, yeah. Luke Robitaille, Los Angeles Kings, former left wing. We have him in the studio tomorrow talking about the new season.
Great.
And we have some live music from Perry Farrell and Satellite Party.
Dude.
And Movie Beat, a whole bunch more. So that's all tomorrow morning.
Movie Beat.
Just throw that on. Best feature ever, Movie Beat.
I know.
Josh where was Josh from?
I know I'm the parsley on your plate, man. I understand.
Hey, you guys seen the YouTube video of the giraffes fighting, by the way?
No.
No.
Oh, that's the hot one right now. You got to check that out.
You'll
especially love it.
I feel bad for Stretchy the giraffe because he's fighting in the jungle. I wish that he just lived in a condo so I could hold him and feed him sunflower seeds. Go F yourself.
People, I know the wild is tough, man.
No, you don't. You don't know, man. You didn't live there like I did.
You didn't live there either.
I was raised by apes. You kidding me?
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including 1-2-3-4, that great new song from Feist, also Alien Ant Farm, Jimmy Eat World's latest, Stone Temple Pilots, Weezer, and more straight ahead at KRQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.